much about.
I'm a huge fan of your show. I mean, I don't know how you do it. The radio is like your kingdom. Kind of like the way the ocean is my kingdom.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Except I've peed in your kingdom.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
We have a governor, Mr. Schwarzenegger. He's from Russia, I think. We love on him, Mr. Terminator.
No, no, 1,000 times no.
Hi, Heidi.
Hi,
how are you?
How
do you think it's going so far?
I think really well. Spencer's the man.
For what?
And now,
let's get down and dirty. If you want to get down and dirty, come on. Don't start nothing. It won't be nothing. If you won't start something, it's sure enough. You can start it. I'll end it for you. So. There you have it.
Our feature presentation.
I love that dude.
Good point. He made some really good points right there.
I love that dude so much. Is he an actual preacher, that guy?
Let's think back to him. He was the guy who we got tape on when he was making fun of. Wasn't it President Obama's mom he was making fun of? I think he was some sort of man of the cloth, I think.
Yeah, and he was saying something about Obama's mom was a whore. Remember that?
Yeah, he was.
Something like that.
It's really bizarre.
Slept with a white man.
No, it was good times.
That, yeah. But you guys are preachers, too.
We are. Well, that's true. So, thank you for noticing that, Lisa.
Pretty much like anyone.
We don't marry anyone like we used to, but because we started to get skeeved out by it. But we did have we had a run there for a while, and then many of those people are still married.
That's true.
Some, you know, went on a murder-suicide pact, but some are still married. So, hey, we're going to take your calls on any topic for Kevin Amin's What to Do Nephew at 1-800-520-1067. That is the toll-free number if you'd like to share something in your brain today and pick up a Kevin Amin t-shirt for the effort. I'd like to, again, note for the record, you should be keeping track of this on a calendar. No death involved in today's opening story.
Wow.
Jonathan Metz of Connecticut, maybe you saw this guy on the news, got his left arm stuck in the furnace of his home.
Mm.
And after about 12 hours of being down there with his arm stuck in the furnace, he thought, what would MacGyver do? Whoa. That was what went through his mind. He thought, you know what? That MacGyver used to be able to figure out a way to use what was around him to get out of any situation. So he did everything he could, obviously, in the course of the 12 hours, trying to wiggle his arm out of the furnace. And then he found some oil in the basin of the furnace and tried to smear that on as much of his arm as he could to try to loosen it up a little bit. Still wasn't able to come out. And then he thought, I don't know how long I'm going to be down here or when anybody is going to find me, so can I reach my toolbox and get out a hacksaw?
Oh,
no.
No.
Took him about 6 hours to psych himself up, by the way. So now he's at 18 hours when he starts using the hacksaw to cut off his own arm. Now, we've seen a number of stories like this in recent years with, you know, the guy who got stuck in the cave and some others where they go, no, I didn't want to do it. Wasn't my first choice, but I was going to die if I didn't. To which I say, by the way, I understand. No, not necessarily. Oh. I don't think I could cut off my own arm, but I understand why somebody would do it. Like the guy in the mountains who might not have been found for a month. Yes. I understand that dude. A guy in his own house who's got friends and a family.
Yeah, isn't someone going to come knocking or looking in a day? He can survive 2 days.
You would think so. Why the rush, dude? I mean, hang on that arm and give your neighbor a chance to come by. But anyway, I happened to catch this dude on Good Morning America today, and here's what he had to say.
How am I going to get my arm out? I struggled. It just made it worse. And so after about 18 hours of being trapped, with my arm stuck in the boiler, I fashioned a tourniquet out of the shirt I was wearing. Tied it as best I could and started cutting.
Started cutting, ladies and gentlemen.
The cut was going well, surprisingly well, actually, for about halfway through. And then I don't know if I hit an artery or a vein or whatever it was.
What
but
could it have been?
The level of blood that began to come out of the wound became alarming.
Yeah.
Okay. So he cuts through much of his arm. Then he gets into an area where it's bleeding so much, and he doesn't have any way to stop the bleeding. So he just kind of slumps down and gives up.
After starting to cut his arm off?
Well, he hasn't even gotten to the bone
yet.
What
a quitter.
He never got to the bone. Yeah.
What a quitter.
So what happened?
The rescuers showed up and released him from the furnace. And then his arm fell off as they pulled the furnace apart.
Oh, no. Well, really?
That guy's a dumbass.
Oh, God.
I mean, really, that guy deserves what he got.
So, in retrospect, perhaps there wasn't really any need for him to lose his arm because they did show up and they did rescue him after he had already cut most of the way through the arm. So, not necessarily ideal in retrospect. Was that the good call?
What a dumbass.
Oh, that's
I
so
love that.
Awful.
That is an awful. That's what he gets. He's stupid.
What a one-armed dumbass.
Yeah, it is certainly.
Yeah, there's a fine line between brave and stupid. I mean, really.
It's brave, but again, I go back to you're in the basement. You're not in the Arctic.
Right.
Okay?
But
you're going to be
people,
okay.
How, did you ever hear how someone knew to show up?
No.
I mean, 18 hours is not that long.
I'm going to do a little bit more research and see if I can find out. But, I mean, in the interview, he went on to say that he had a fiance, he had a dog, he had friends. So it's not like he was some hermit who was going to be out in the wilderness and no one was ever going to find. Eventually, somebody was going to come. And I think he should have just hung on. But
yeah, you think?
Your mind's got to play.
He only has one arm.
Your mind's got to play tricks with you, though, at that point. You feel hopeless.
My mind never plays the trick where it says, cut off your arm.
I don't think I would either.
It's just not
you
a part.
You find my dehydrated,
right.
dead body.
You'd die there.
So good times, right?
Wow, good times. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Oh, we lost our caller with late breaking news that Katy Perry is hot. I wanted to talk to him, but he hung up.
Yeah,
darn it.
That was good.
Let's try Tom at 1-800-520-1067. He's on line 3. Get on the air. Get a Kevin and Bean t-shirt today.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Tom. What it do?
What it do?
What it do? Man, I just called to talk about them Lakers.
No, we don't need a vuvuzela for this, Kevin. No, take it away, Mike. Take it away, Tom.
Why are those obnoxious?
Tom, go ahead.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, man, the Lakers. Their defense. They came out and man, they just stifled the Celtics. And man, it was incredible to watch. I loved watching it. And yeah, that rivalry is intense. They're going to Game 7.
Very exciting last night. Loved
it. Was.
Couldn't be happier.
I could not be happier.
Here's the conversation that went on yesterday, by the way. The conversation that went on yesterday was, we said we should have somebody on today. And then I said, well, I don't want it to be a Celtics fan if the Lakers lose because it'll be such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bean said, well, I thought you were more mature than that. And then I said, how long have you worked with me? I've never been more mature than that. So then we went into the office and Alex, our producer, said, are you serious about not having someone on? I said, yes.
But no, you didn't.
I did. And then I said, but Bean wants to have somebody. So we were going to get Bill Simmons. And finally, I said, all right, listen, can you tell him ahead of time that if the Celtics win, we don't want to talk to him? And she said, no. So then finally I gave in and I said, all right, listen, he's not a gloater, so we can have Bill Simmons on.
Okay.
Either way, win or lose. And then he canceled.
He did?
Yeah, he's not
because
on the show today.
Because they lost?
Oh, how about that? He can cancel, but I can't.
Well,
we'll see how that works.
I don't know. I don't think Bill Simmons had confirmed and then canceled after the game, though. I think you're reading into that. But the point is, we would recap the finals when it ended, no matter who was playing and no matter how it ended. That's just something that we would do on the show is recap the finals. So, of course, you'll be happier if it ends up being. I didn't think it was an exciting game last night. It was a dominating performance, and Lakers looked amazing. But any game that's out of out of contention five minutes in is not exciting.
It is if you like the team.
I agree.
They just held them to like so few points, which was awesome.
And if you like the Lakers or you like whichever team, I mean, when Boston wins big and you're a Boston fan, of course you're excited. That's a great game.
Right.
It's not a tense, down to the wire game, but I didn't want that.
I think Boston scored 31 points in the first half is all they had or something like that. It was some ridiculously small number.
Yeah, it was
crazy.
But my question is always the same, which is if the Lakers can play that kind of defense, hey, how about doing that every game?
I know.
At least in the finals.
Yeah, there's something about momentum that it's hard to put into words how a team can come out and be so different night to night. And sometimes you do what you have to do, I guess. And last night they knew they had to win.
And also, the Celtics are a team with a lot of good shooters. You got a guy like Paul Pierce who can create a lot of shots, and a guy like Ray Allen who's as far as like a catch and shoot guy, maybe the best we've seen in recent history. So when those guys are on, it doesn't really matter necessarily how good a defense you're playing. They're going to be hitting shots. And in game five, they were what? Close to 60% throughout the entire game, so there's not much you can do.
Right, but the Lakers played worse defense.
Sure. I mean, like being said, the momentum just wasn't there like it was last night. And also, in game five, I think the big problem was, and I cannot remember a time where something like this happened, which happened immediately in game five, and that is Pau Gasol played terribly.
Yeah.
He's had bad games, better games than others. But there's never been a game where I've really seen Pau Gasol just not show up like he did in game five.
Right.
I mean,
he was rare, totally.
And it totally threw the Lakers for a loop because the triangle offense just doesn't set up if you can't post up the one guy you're going to build your offense around.
So game seven, tomorrow night.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
By the way, sorry to interrupt a little bit, but I like, you know how Dane Cook has that super finger of his? The Sufi. Yeah. I got a place for him to stick that Sufi.
Yeah, it's worth the Lakers waiting just to make Dane Cook sad. I agree with you on that.
I'll take a gloating from, like the Wahlberg brothers, because they've been huge Boston sports supporters pretty much their entire career, and I understand that, and I respect for them. I hate them, but I respect them. Maria Menounos and Dane Cook, I didn't even know they were from like Massachusetts until like 2 days ago. And now all of a sudden they're certainly quiet after last night's ass whooping. So why don't you just shut your mouth and let Staples Center front row be for people who really want to cheer on the Lakers.
There you go.
By the way, it is interesting in any sport when you play an entire season. And when did the basketball season start? Like October? Something like that?
I think it's usually September.
September?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine that schedule. Imagine playing that many games, and then it comes down to one game, and then it's going to be one half, and then it's going to be one quarter, then it's going to be who wins the next 5 minutes. Yep. I mean, it is crazy how much is riding on tomorrow night's game.
Game sevens in any playoff series, really in any sport, except for baseball, is always exciting.
Oh, yeah.
Game seven is just amazing. All right, let's go to Paul. Hey, Paul.
Oh.
Hello, Paul. Turn down your radio.
Hello?
Yep.
Hi, Paul. What'd it do?
Did you guys hear about Les Richter dying over the weekend?
I heard and didn't care.
Wait, Les Richter died?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know who that is.
He's the guy that the Los Angeles Rams back in the 50s and 60s traded 11 of their players just to get him.
And that worked out how?
That worked out. He was a linebacker. He played for 8 seasons and 8 Pro Bowls.
So you're serious about this. I mean,
I looked it up, and then he was really into auto racing and helped get that established.
Yeah, all right.
So,
okay, all right. Yeah, let's not go to any more calls.
I was sorry we went to that one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amicho. How about that?
Hey, shut up.
Okay. We're going to talk to somebody who created a great program. I'm not sure if it's an app or if it's a program, but it is called Shaved Bieber with a B. And it's Justin Bieber. And basically, if you install this program, your computer will block out all Justin Bieber news/pictures/video.
This guy should get a Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
That is awesome.
So if you had too much of that kid, then this guy's got the answer for you.
I love that.
Shaved Bieber. We're also going to talk about a waitress who is too fat for Hooters. They fired her because she's too fat.
She must not have had Hooters either.
That doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, there are Hooters a lot of times, is misnamed.
There are a lot of times when Hooters restaurants
call it Hoot.
They do not feature Hooters.
No.
Yeah.
It's odd that way.
I'm going to put that in the file, by the way.
But
I thought that was good.
They should just call it Who.
Hoot.
Hoot. Yeah, let's see. Yeah,
one, put like it in the one. File. Okay.
All right. Why? Because they have one? How many Hooters waitresses do you
don't
have
know.
One? All right, stop it.
Nancy Reagan.
We're going to talk about my favorite new band, Charlie Sheen's Car. That's coming up today. We have Adam Sessler in the studio talking about the E3 convention.
Yeah.
No, wrong Adam.
That's Adam Carolla.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, this is Adam Sessler. And we have Human Centipede Rap, which is a long time in the making.
Wow. Okay.
Plus, there's a... There's another story of a 3-year-old. This one is smoking and drinking. The last one was just smoking.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, all right.
3-year-old smoking and drinking.
Good times.
Good times. Parent of the year right there.
Yes.
So that's coming up today as well. You know who's not going to be on the show?
Who?
Celtics fan Bill Simmons.
Hmm.
How about that?
Interesting.
A surprise. Yeah. All right, it's 5:44. We'll take a quick break, and we will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. Oh, no, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:53.
Our friend Ralph Garman is on vacation this week. We are filling in for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I want to start with Drake and Hanson. Not maybe two musical artists that you would expect to be playing together, but they were doing a free show in New York yesterday. You know, we were just talking yesterday, Kevin, about how Drake, who's an enormously popular rapper, had never until yesterday released his first album.
I know, it's bizarre.
He had guested on a bunch of big hit songs, and he had put out a little EP last year, but his first full-length album came out yesterday. And to celebrate, they were going to be at a place called South Street Seaport. It was going to be a free show. Hanson, by the way, also has a new album out.
All-girl band.
Yeah. And believe it or not, all-girl band, right? Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, they still have a lot of fans, too. But let's face it, most people were there to see Drake. They were expecting about 10,000 people to show up. That's what the police had organizers had planned for. Over 20,000 showed up.
Wow.
And people started climbing on roofs. Next thing you know, tempers get high, and they start throwing chairs and bottles. The police come in. They have to shut the whole thing down and arrest a bunch of people, right? So that's not what they what anybody had hoped for. But I didn't think it was necessary for the newsreader on Good Morning America today to start calling Drake names.
Here in New York, a free concert had to be canceled after the young crowd became too big and too unruly. 20,000 fans descended on Manhattan's South Street Seaport to see breakout rapper Drake and the band Hanson.
What? Wait a minute.
20,000 fans descended on Manhattan's South Street Seaport to see breakout rapper Drake.
I don't know that you need to accuse him of anything like that. Come on.
What does it take to become a breakout?
A breakout raper. Wow. And by the way, they just moved on. Nobody said anything. I'm sure there was somebody in a control booth somewhere who was going, check that cue card, check that cue card.
You just said raper.
Not necessarily. Not so much a raper as he is a rapper. So I just thought that was pretty funny.
Most role models tell kids to stay away from drugs. Robert Pattinson was on Nightline. And he said he was very, very nervous when he was going to try out for the role. And so he took some Valium. And it turned out to be a great idea.
Oh, good.
Because it calmed him.
Good advice for the kids.
And he got the role. And I'd like to suggest that we test Kristen Stewart for the same thing. Because there's got to be. She has to be sedated. Right?
Yeah. All
the time. She must be.
He needs to stop sharing with her. That's
he needs to
saying.
Stop taking it at this
well,
point,
that
too. Look, I understand if he was nervous on his audition, but seriously, pick up the pace a little bit, Bob. What's that guy's deal?
Yeah, Valium. So don't take it. Makes you dull.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. I love Betty White, perhaps unnaturally, but I'm not alone. Let's face it, she's enormously popular in the United States.
Did you record her new show?
Well, it debuts tonight, is what I've been told.
I think it was last night.
All right, well, it says here it debuts tonight on TV Land.
Right.
I'm sure I'll get another shot to see it. This is a new program called Hot in Cleveland. She is on with Valerie Bertinelli, Jane Leeves, and Wendy Malick, all very successful former sitcom actresses, as is Betty White. And the reason I bring it up is because, look, I love Betty White, but I want you to listen to the premise of this show and tell me if this is not the single dumbest show idea. Look, there have been a lot of ridiculously stupid sitcom ideas, okay? Is this the thinnest premise ever? They live on the West Coast, and they're going to Paris together on vacation, a la, you know, Sex in the City, going to Egypt or wherever the hell they went, right? Well, their plane gets diverted, and they get stranded overnight in Cleveland. They're in Cleveland, like at the airport, I guess, and they realize they're getting attention from men. And they go, hey, I guess in Cleveland we're hot. Let's move here.
Yeah, so their plane is forced to stop. They're on the way to Paris.
Yes,
and they said,
right.
Let's stay forever.
Let's live in Cleveland forever. I know we live in Los Angeles now, and we're on our way to vacation in Paris, but screw both places. Let's instead get an apartment and live in Cleveland, is what they decide to do.
Yeah.
Look, I don't have anything against Cleveland. I've been to Cleveland a bunch of times. I think it's fine.
It blows.
But nobody decides on a layover that they're going to leave L.A. and Paris and live in Cleveland.
But
I don't care who you are.
It's a great airport.
But at least it wasn't four separate women. They all have their own life, supposedly.
Right.
And they're all deciding together. You know what? That's a great idea. Let's live here.
Is that the craziest idea ever? I mean, look, it may be a funny show. I don't know anything about it. They've got some talent on the program.
Yeah.
But somebody
yeah.
somebody should have said, hey, why don't we scratch that whole backstory idea and come up with some other reason why these people are living in Cleveland. Like, just have them live in Cleveland. Why do you need the premise?
It's tonight at 10 p.m. on TV Land. That's what I'm being told now.
Okay.
Fantastic. Yeah, so don't lie to me, Lisa.
You know what they do? You know what they should have done, Beanie? They just should have done, hey, you know, we know someone there. We're going to go on vacation there.
Right.
And
exactly.
Then at least then you go, all right, well, maybe they liked it. This
it would
is a
make
layover.
Sense if they got transferred for work
They're
or
on their
something.
Way to Paris. No one on their way to Paris goes.
So they didn't
yes.
even go to Paris?
No.
Because Cincinnati's
so
much
awesome.
Better?
Yeah. Cleveland, right?
For a layover.
I just can't imagine. I'm sorry.
Let's see here. The situation back in the news. Mike Sorrentino is his name. Apparently, he's a lot of trouble now for MTV. They are talking to an insider, quote unquote, talking to TMZ that the situation is pretty cocky these days. He defies producers just for the sake of doing it.
Oh,
and he's
no.
on his BlackBerry about 24 hours a day trying to make like side deals and stuff. He's got that new rap
he's
song.
He's gonna be a mogul.
Oh.
I heard yesterday somewhere that he's on his phone all the time, and they keep telling him to get off the phone. We're filming. And he said to them, I think my fans want to see me wheeling and dealing.
Oh, yes.
That's what the situation said. What kind of wheeling and dealing can the situation be doing?
Dude,
really?
He's right. I want to see him wheeling and dealing.
He gets mobbed, you guys.
He does. It's mall closing time.
Yeah.
He can't even go on an airplane. Sometimes he has to go up and sit with the pilot.
That's a different story. Mm-hmm. That was the Bono lookalike story. That's very
oh,
different.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Look, let's face it. Fighting is big these days. You know, you see how huge the UFC is. The number one movie in America right now is The Karate Kid. People love to see people get together and beat each other up. Well, South Korea is debuting in October robot fighting.
Yeah.
Public taekwondo tournaments featuring robots. The robots have built-in sensors to predict when their opponent is about to strike. Then they deliver a robotic counterattack. How about that?
Awesome.
They're trying to promote martial arts by having robot fighting. But I'm saying if they get these robots to the point where they're any good, then you get a robot-human fight. Now I'm in. Come on.
You want to see a robot fight a human?
Wouldn't you?
Dude, I saw it. It's called Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah.
It doesn't go well for the humans.
I don't know. I'm afeard they're going to make a Karate Kid sequel now that this one is so popular. Maybe a little Jaden Smith can fight a robot. Maybe that's
Dude,
the next one.
It made $50-some million. It's already in the works, I imagine.
Yeah, wow. You're probably right.
Celebrity birthdays. We have, let's see here. Actor John Cho, 38.
Hey!
Actress Missy Peregrine.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Peregrine. She's the girl on Reaper, and she's on Rookie Blue coming up, and she's pretty hot. She deserves more than just that bell. At least hit it a good, strong hit. L.A. Dodgers closer Jonathan Broxton is 26 years old. But the reason we celebrate, Petros Papadakis.
Has
a birthday. That's our touching birthday tribute. And that is the Ralph Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. And we have our friend Adam Sessler in the studio. Adam. I got to tell you, I love Adam Sessler. He's of course, the host and the managing editor of X-Play on G4. He might die.
Yeah.
Soon.
Look at him.
He might be dead soon.
He never looks good, but today he looks particularly bad.
Well, Adam, always said, face for radio.
Let's enjoy him now while we have him is what I'm saying.
What's your schedule like this week, buddy?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, obviously E3, the Electronic Entertainment Expo, is going on here in LA. It's it is kind of the World Cup for nerds, for games.
For video
games,
right?
Yeah, it's where every single major game for the next year at least is being shown.
All right, let me interrupt you right there for 1 second. He said World Cup. Why isn't Psycho Mike on the Vuvuzela? That's his job. Come on.
I just left the studio. I will, though.
There we go. That's what we need for every reference. All right. So it's that big. It's your Christmas. It's your Super Bowl. It's your new Megan Fox movie opening all in one.
Exactly. And then G4, and you know, I was party to this decision. We're doing like 25, 26 hours live over the 4 days starting on Monday, and we're finishing up tomorrow.
Wow. That always sounds great in the meeting. And then like on day two, you go, what are we doing? I can't do this.
Yeah, but that's you're right. Yeah. It is absolutely exhausting. At the same time, I mean, it allows me the best opportunity to see all of the games because I don't have to walk to the other people's booths. They have to come to me.
Nice.
Yeah. Right?
Oh,
you
know, it's kind of an awesome feeling. It's like, no, come to me. I sit on my big chair.
I'm being fanned by babes in bikinis. You bring me your game, I will try it.
Exactly. When I close my eyes, that's what happens.
Adam, were you at the kickoff concert Monday night at Staples Center?
Monday night, the concert or the event?
Any of the above.
The concert with Eminem and Chris Cornell.
Oh,
and,
yes. Activision, and, yes. I was not because, unfortunately, I have to sacrifice things like that because I need to get some rest. But that was Activision's big event. And I believe that really the overriding philosophy of it was that Activision was reminding everyone they have lots and lots of money.
Right. They do.
I heard they spent $6 million on this event, Kevin. They
wow.
had Usher there, Jane's Addiction. I mean, it was just unbelievable how much. I mean, and they by all accounts, and I've seen some video on YouTube, they put on an indoor fireworks display at Staples Center that almost blew the roof off the place, which maybe isn't what you want to do when the NBA Finals are in town that week.
All right.
Be careful with the venue a little bit, but you didn't even get a chance to go to that because that sounds like it must have been fun.
Yeah, I was getting all the tweets and emails like, oh, having the time of my life. How are you, Adam? Well, I'm at home trying to rest up.
Trying to sleep.
Yeah.
So is it kind of like, is what's happening? First of all, how many years has the E3 convention happened in
a row
now?
You know what? I don't know off the top of my head. I've been doing this for 12 years, and I know it predates that. And
It just reminds me so much of how Comic-Con went from, you know, a couple of guys in the basement with their comic book on a table to now something that, you know, lasts 4 days and sprawls over acres and hundreds of thousands of people come. I mean, at some point, does it get out of control and get too big?
Oh, yeah. And you know what? It got too big about 4 years ago. There was a point. Well, it's supposed to be only for the industry, except the definition of industry is something elastic.
Sure.
And at one point about 4 years ago, industry meant I happen to work adjacent to a Best Buy.
Right, sure.
And so everybody was coming in and, you know, I don't want to diss video game fans because they're great and that's our audience. But, you know, there's that point where a lot of people are trying to work and see all these games as many as they can in a given day. And then there's some other people that are coming in there and they're just standing there playing the game for 30 minutes and playing the same demo over and over again.
And that's you.
That was me.
Now, we have two games to talk about specifically. Let's talk about Rage for a minute, and then we'll talk about, in the next break, we'll talk about the new Call of Duty.
Okay, so Rage. We're going to have this on our stage at 3 p.m. Pacific. This game is so awesome. Last year, Bean, you were really on that phrase, awesome, covered in awesome sauce. So
yeah,
I'm
right. No.
I'm bringing it back.
No,
Kevin loves
good.
It so
good
much.
For you,
yeah,
Adam.
We broke him of it. We broke him. We finally shamed him into not doing
yes,
it.
Yes, but
is the new Rage game full of win? Because that's this year's expression that I love.
No, it is not.
I don't know if I can get on board with that one. But this is the first game from the guys who made Doom and Quake. This is their first new franchise in 17 years.
Wow.
And they've always been known to be at the bleeding edge of technology when it comes to games, but they've never really had the same design of some of the other game makers out there. This is the first time I can confidently say that their design is on par with this amazing piece of technology.
Wow.
And it's just, I still can't believe it every time I see this demo over and over again. It's very exciting to finally show it to some other people so they don't think I'm crazy.
Describe it for those that aren't hardcore gamers. Describe what it is.
The animation is so seamless, and what's happening is that the artificial intelligence in the enemies is really, really sharp, and it can read the environment. And
right.
So what's happening is being directed by the AI, not by someone saying, okay, this character will do this, and they'll do this.
Oh, I see.
Now, when you do that in a video game, what tends to happen is that the animations suffer because it can't draw as fast as the AI is thinking.
Right.
This, it's actually happening at the same time, and it's just kind of almost like astonishing revelation.
So it's a different game depending on what you, the player, do every time?
So one example is there are some turrets you can throw out to fight off some enemies.
Right.
And they were showing a demo to me, and they wanted to show the turrets. But the enemies came in, saw the turrets, and kicked them across the room.
Well, that's BS. How are you supposed to use the turrets?
I know. I mean, if they're kickable, then let's get some heavier turrets out there, kids.
My first thought would be to test out if I could just turn and run. What would they do? They would follow me and track me down.
I think so.
Awesome.
I mean, a game without things trying to kill you?
Well, no,
where's the fun in that?
I know, but the idea that it reacts to what you do is really unique.
It is.
And that's
what people have been working on more and more in video games this generation. And sometimes you really see it work, and sometimes you don't. But, man, when it works, that's when you feel the games are doing something unlike any other form of entertainment out there.
Every time you play it, it's different.
Yeah.
And it's so cool. Is Rage, when is that in stores? And is most of what you're seeing this week at the convention Christmas 2010?
No, it'll be Christmas 2010, and then the first half of the year 2011. It's a strange thing. Because of games like Call of Duty that are such big blockbusters,
right.
A lot of the game publishers are taking other titles and putting them in the early part of the following year so they don't have to compete with the must-buy games. At the end of the year, people only really want to get one or two games, and so one of them will always be Call of Duty, I think.
Of course, yeah.
And so you don't want to fight to be the other one.
Well, we are going to take a quick break and come back with Adam Sessler, host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, and we'll be talking about Call of Duty. You can look for X-Play and Attack of the Show directly from the floor of the E3 2010 convention, which is going on through tomorrow afternoon. Is that when it ends, right, Adam?
Yes, it does.
at the Los Angeles Convention Center. Although you're having such a good time, just stay through the weekend. Why not? We'll catch up with more with Adam right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
News with Supermassive Black Whores on the world famous K-Rock 106.7.
That's hole, black holes.
Oh, it's 6:37.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show in the middle of the G4 live broadcast from hell. The E3 2010 convention is going on all this week. This is, as Adam Sessler, who is in our studio right now, this is the biggest week of the year for games fans. And how many new games are unveiled at a convention like this? Of course, you know, the two or three biggest ones are going to get the headlines, but how many actually are there?
Oh, I would say we're over 200 games. If you take all those handheld games for the DS into account, it's well over 200. I'm going to count them all today.
It's amazing.
are there just dozens and dozens of companies who are making games that are probably profitable but kind of off of our radar because they haven't broken through yet?
Yeah, you know, there's a company called Nexon, and it's a Korean-based company, and what they do, they sell these free-to-play online games, and there's tons of money to be made in that because then it's free-to-play initially, and then you kind of buy items in the game to help increase your character.
Right.
It's a whole different market that is very big in Asia but is getting more and more successful here in the U.S.
Is Farmville one of those?
Farmville falls into that, but they don't make Farmville. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Farmville.
I hear you. I'm with you.
Don't let me know what you're doing in Farmville.
Yep.
That's my reaction as well.
I like turnips when I eat them, not when you farm them.
I don't want to farm them.
That has become a problem not only in our business, but in a lot of businesses with people who become obsessed with, you know, harvesting their wheat during lunch. I mean, it's the most bizarre. Look, there are some games that I see that they're popular. Maybe they're not for me, but I can understand why they're popular. I don't know why Farmville has 70 million users.
I think maybe there's just kind of a latent fantasy for anyone who like lives in an urban setting that like, wow, wouldn't it be nice to make cheese?
No.
And this somehow serves it up.
Really? You can 70 make million? Cheese?
70 million a month?
No. Well, it's not all cheesemakers. It's maybe just milk drinkers. Something like that.
Cream. There's a franchise that most people have not heard of called Call of Duty. It's new. It's up and coming. It's little. You know a little something about the new version.
Yes. This is the new Call of Duty for this year is Call of Duty Black Ops. And I'm very excited about this game. First, the company that made Modern Warfare 2, Infinity Ward, they had a rather large spat with their publisher Activision, and the heads of the company kind of left. The guys who are making this game are Treyarch, and they've always made the year that isn't Modern Warfare games.
Okay.
And people have always been like, they're not as good. And I gotta say, these guys, and I'm very proud of them, have stepped up and shown they are as good as the Infinity War guys when they're given the time, the resources, and the technology and money. And this game is absolutely phenomenal. We have two videos of it, of two different levels that are up on our website, and I recommend that you like check out both, because it's different than the ones we've seen in the past. It takes place in the Cold War, and it takes place in different time periods and different settings. So you get really kind of a nice mix of different types of gameplay. I've seen a level that's set in the Vietnam War that's very much like the original Modern Warfare, where it's just that sense of chaos.
Right.
You can barely make sense of who's shooting at you, where you're supposed to go. It's that kind of panic. And then they showed another level that's in the Soviet Union. It's snow, and you're just kind of a special ops group, and you're crashing through windows and shooting guys in slow-mo.
It's
more like an action movie. And I'm really excited to see all those changes in tone and setting, because sometimes what weighs down a lot of these war-based games is after the first 3 hours, there's only so much you can do. And if they are able to change it up, then you're just looking at ridiculous plot twist after ridiculous plot twist.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to keep taking it to the next step. I mean, once you get to that level, it is hard to make another level that's exceptional.
It's like, oh, wow, we had that awesome. We have to top our awesome. How about we two explosions? Yes, that's how we do it.
I made a comparison a few minutes ago. Adam Sessler in the studio, host and editor-in-chief of X-Play on G4, as they broadcast from the E3 2010 convention all this week. I made a reference to Comic-Con and how similar that is to what you're going through this week with how big it has gotten. And that $6 million kickoff concert the other night that we talked about. Is there a lot of star power now? Is Hollywood moving in on gaming, and you have a lot of actors and people like that showing up at these conventions now too?
Yes. They tend to come in disguise and completely avoid me. There is. Hollywood is definitely interested in the money that can be found in video games, both in just taking a successful game license and making a crappy movie out of it.
Sure.
But in the case of Disney and Warner Brothers, they've opened up their own shops inside of their large corporations to handle the video games because they both have these wonderful properties. Warner's obviously has, like, DC Comics, and they realized rather than saying, like, hey, you over there, take Batman and make a game, because that never works out. They, you know, work with their own team, and they have people like Jim Lee, who, you know, is a big comic book guy, who's managing over it. And they had a game called Batman Arkham Asylum that came out last year that was incredibly awesome. It was the first time we ever saw a good comic book game. Yeah. And Disney's doing the same thing this year. I gotta say, there's gonna be a Tron game that usually you think, movie tie-in game. It is amazing.
Really?
I mean, as a kid who grew up with that movie, it's giving me my light cycles and the killer frisbee thing, just as I would like to see it.
Those of you that don't remember that or are not aware of that, it was
1981.
And it came out, and the whole premise of that was a guy gets sucked into his computer and has to play inside his computer. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, like when you go back and you watch it now, you're like, oh, wow, I imagined a lot more cool things that actually happened up on that screen.
Yeah.
And Jeff Bridges is much older now than he was in the original.
There's that.
But it's neat to see that they realize that they have these strong properties, and they need to respect them in a video game. They can't be cynical and say, oh, yeah, just because it says Tron or just because it says, you know Batman, someone's going to buy it. Because, people are wising up.
They're wising up and understanding video games today are making a lot more than movies.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
They really are just raking it in.
And because games, take time to play, you're not going to the movies because you're playing your game.
There's that too.
Yeah, if you can be more entertained at home, why go through the hassle of spending the money and the time and everything else to go out to the movies, right? How about, I have one more question. I know I ask you this every year, but I can't wait to say goodbye to real life and just live in some sort of internet-created world. The Wii is one step closer to that in terms of actually getting movement that gets into the game. Are you seeing any of that, any advances in that where you're more like you're actually in a game or closer to 3D than before?
Well, Microsoft wants me to think that. And they have this new piece of technology called Kinect, and it's spelled K-I-N-E-C-T, which doesn't completely make sense to me. This is no controller. It's a device that has an infrared, camera that can scan your body and up to three other people, and that you can play just waving around.
So your arms move, your legs move, you punch, whatever.
Right, you can run in place, and it's like you're running.
Awesome.
And you kind of see it represented up on the screen. The problem is, and this is true for Nintendo a lot as well, with this new kind of motion control technology, it's undeniable. The technology is really cool. No one knows what to do with it. All the games that I'm seeing from Microsoft utilizing this technology, it's like, that's just kind of like a small little kids game or something that might be fun for 10 minutes to go, wow, this technology is cool.
Right.
But no one knows how to actually engage you. You can seem to only do that with a traditional game where you're having to think and you have a series of buttons that you have to press. And that, over time, that does become more engaging.
Give me sex.
Wow. Hey,
right,
take it easy. He's a married guy.
I said 3 minutes. You're so patient.
CNN came out with a list of the top 10 video games of the past decade. I'm going to run them by you.
All right.
We don't have time to comment on every one, unfortunately, but The Sims, BioShock, Grand Theft Auto 3, Halo, Resident Evil 4, God of War, Guitar Hero, The Elder Scrolls 4, Oblivion, Shadow of the Colossus, and World of Warcraft. Those are the top 10, the most influential games of the last decade.
Yeah, that's my buddy Scott Steinberg, and I have to agree. It's
How
a
is
good
Call
mix.
Of Duty not on that list?
That's a good question. Call of Duty, because Call of Duty Modern Warfare, I'm trying to remember when the first Call of Duty came out, and if that actually might have been in 1999. While that was a very big game, it really didn't become the huge influential game until Modern Warfare, Call of Duty 4, Modern Warfare. That might have been the excuse, but I would say of that list, World of Warcraft is by far, the thing that's kind of been the biggest game changer in the
Ever.
Gaming space.
Yeah.
Because there's just too many people playing that. Yeah. It's like the Farmville for people.
Yeah. Farmville. We'll get us started.
E3 2010 convention is going on through today and through tomorrow. Look for Adam Sessler every single time you turn on your TVs to G4. I hope you can get some rest after this, dude, and I guess we'll see you later in the year down at Comic-Con. But thanks so much, as always, for spending some time with us on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Thank you.
This is The Kevin and
All right. Miss Cleo, take it easy.
Not so much of that. Speaking of Miss Cleo, she joins us in studio. She is filling in this hour for our friend Ralph Garman, who is on vacation. Cleo, what's going on?
Good morning. All right, another celebrity has been busted for a DUI. Ugh. This time it is Chris Klein from American Pie. He was caught on the 101 freeway at 3:13 this morning on a suspicion of a DUI. So, hey, celebrities, get your ass together. Stop drinking and driving.
At least we know he wasn't faking it. He's not a good enough actor to pull that off. We know that. Oh, yeah. We've seen his audition tapes.
Ouch. Speaking of a...
Yeah, less of that.
Okay, that's as long as I can blow.
Yeah. So you need to work on that, by the way, if that's the case.
The U.S. team is, as you know, playing in the World Cup right now, and there's a report out that they are not allowed to leave their compound at all. They're on strict orders not to leave their private resort.
Dangerous?
Yes, they get their head cut off.
There's that. You don't want your head cut off.
No, you're right.
And they want the team to stay focused. So, but the report says that they've got tons of swanky cool stuff in their area: a private pool, a bunch of video games, darts, foosball.
So. If they don't have hot chicks.
They do have horns.
It is funny to see the different rules based on the different clubs at the World Cup, what their policies are. Like, Kevin, am I right about this? The England coach, for instance, is forbidding sex. You're not allowed to have sex the whole time you're over there. You're only allowed to see your girlfriends for like an hour a day after the matches.
Yes.
I mean, it's crazy. And then there are other teams who are just going for it. You know, they're going through cases of condoms a week.
The North Koreans are handcuffed together and beaten.
No sex thing could also be a that could really mess with your game, I would think. It could last a month. That could really mess you up, I would think.
Right?
A month.
I'm sure they're getting it.
Anyways, we were just talking about the E3 convention, and like Bean said, Eminem was out there. He was talking to some reporters and said that if he didn't clean up his act, he was going to die.
Mm. Yeah, some of the songs on this new CD are about that.
That CD's incredible. I can't
really
stop
good.
Listening to it.
Yeah. Not that we have it, because it's not out yet. It's really good.
If I did have it, I would not stop listening to it. Anyways, the album releases June 22nd, and he told a reporter, "Took me a while to admit I actually did have a problem in the hip-hop world that I live in. It could be mistaken for a weakness, and the last thing you want to do in hip-hop is to admit that you're weak." But he said that if I didn't admit this, I was going to die.
What was his deal? Was it alcohol, drugs? What was he
doing? It was mostly like Xanax and Ambien and stuff like prescription drugs, yeah. And so. He would stay at home. I think he's agoraphobic, which means he doesn't like to go outside. And I would imagine that's because of his fame a lot.
Right.
So he would just stay in his house for weeks and weeks and months.
Well, so his new album is
I respect
titled,
that.
Yeah, yeah, I know you do.
His new album is titled Recovery, and it's very fitting. So yep. June 22nd, go buy it. It's allegedly
That's
amazing.
Tuesday, by the way.
Next Tuesday. On to Glee news. As everyone knows, I am a huge Gleek.
Me too. Go on. Tell me, girl.
And on a Gleek.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
of course.
On KevinBean.com right now, you can read a post by Bean talking about one of our huge artists that originally did not allow Glee to have their music.
Oh,
and
really?
Change their minds?
Change their minds. Oh. They just gave up their catalog. And that band is Coldplay. Coldplay initially said no, and now they
not
gave up
cool
their...
Not cool enough?
Yeah. And now they're like, all right, cool.
Wait, how big's the show? Okay.
Exactly. Yeah, that's if you're the songwriters in Coldplay, and all those guys work on those songs together, it's just free money.
Yeah.
It's just checks rolling in from iTunes, because every week after Glee, the first thing fans do is they go and download all those songs. So why not make a ton of dough off of a song from 10 years ago if you can do it?
Now, most TV shows have to pay a lot of money for music. A lot. I mean, $10,000, $20,000 use of a song. So this is them letting them use it for free because of the promotion?
I don't know what the specifics are on that, but this isn't like they're not using a Coldplay record to play over a scene in CSI or something. That's where usually the money comes in.
Oh, I see when it's the band. Okay.
I think they're letting, you know, the performers on the show will do these songs, and Coldplay makes tons of dough without having to do anything. So, and by the way, Cleo, do you see the rest of my post? You see who the only other major artist was who had said no up to this point? Everybody wants to be on Glee except for two artists. Coldplay was one. Cleo, who was the other one?
Bryan Adams.
Bryan Adams.
Which I find really funny.
What? Yeah. Did they want to use him?
Yes, they did. And he's the holdout right now. So far, Bryan Adams is sitting up there in Canada going, no, I'm not going to give you Summer of 69. So there.
Wow.
So random. And Bean, this story is for you. Another another celebrity with nudie pictures.
Oh, I think I know.
Of course you know, you're Bean. It does not need that many
Who
bells.
Who is it? Let's decide.
Yes, it does.
Betty White.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
What? No, no.
Allegedly,
no.
There are some sexy pictures floating around with her and her, I think, former hubby.
Yes.
Yeah. Look.
There are some very famous Betty White nudes that, of course, I already have from back in the 40s. But
are
yeah,
you
now kidding? They're now they're talking about new photos with her husband Alan Ladd, actual sexy time photos.
Wait. Now you mean current photos?
Like, well, no, recent.
He's been dead for a number of years.
Okay, so way back when she might have been hot, I don't know.
I don't know. Well, she's still hot, first of all, but no. I don't know when these photos were taken, but they have not previously been available to those of us adoring Betty White fans in the public. So, yes, I'm very much looking forward to this.
F you.
How dare you? Betty White was hot when she was younger,
nope.
By the way.
Yeah,
she's a good-looking broad.
She's been 100 since I was born.
She's definitely been 100 since I was born.
Right?
So.
I mean, really?
Guys, she's not 100
she
yet.
She was 100 when I was born.
And she's going backwards? She's Benjamin Buttoning us?
She's
Come
just
on.
Hanging on to 100.
All right, celebrity birthdays. Actor Harold of Harold and Kumar, John Choi. Hi!
Hey!
It's Choi. It's not so much Choi as it is Choi.
Aww. Choi.
I fail. Yeah. I had to fail at something. It was going pretty well. Our favorite sportsman, Petros.
Yeah.
Turns 33 today, and that's about it. Congratulations. I'm Cleo. I walk your show, bitch.
Yeah, you need to work on that out, if you don't
Congratulations.
Mind. Just work on
Look, hear my whole thing, Kevin. I'm going to keep bugging you to see the Human Centipede movie until you see the Human Centipede movie. I'm not going to let you go through your life missing out on that film.
I don't have it, though. Is it going around like DVD or what's...
Yeah, it was here for
I don't have
ages.
It. Where is it? Who has it? I'll watch it.
I bet you DNA will make
you
a copy.
I'll tell you, I don't.
Right. Oh, you're going to watch it? You're actually going to watch it? Because you've been resisting up till this point, even though everyone you know who's seen it has loved it.
Well, I don't like gross, but you guys are telling me that it's not...
It really
it
isn't.
It doesn't focus on that.
Gross. It really isn't?
It isn't.
All right, describe
it's not
for
gross,
people,
Lisa.
Describe for people what it is, and then we'll let them make up their own minds.
Go ahead,
man. Me, okay. Basically, it's a horror movie about these two girls that get lost in the woods. You've seen the premise a thousand times. And bad things happen to them. In this case, they knock on, they find a house. They walk to a house because their car's broken down. It's pouring rain. They're in Germany on vacation. They knock on a guy's door.
See,
and
right there. Yeah. I go, no. You don't knock on a door in Germany. Yeah. You just don't.
But,
you die.
But they got no choice because they're out in the pouring rain. They don't have AAA. They don't have a cell phone. They got nothing, right?
You,
so they knock on the guy's door, and he says, sure, come on in. I'll let you call the police. And then that's the last you ever see of him because he turns out to be a crazy mad doctor. He's a surgeon and he has this bizarre twisted fantasy. And Mike, do we ever find out why it's his fantasy to build a human centipede to stitch three people together in surgery so that two of them have their ass surgically attached to somebody's face? Do we
that's
ever figure out why
gross.
He wants to
see
do that?
That sounds gross to me.
That's
they never explain why. It's just we learn right from the onset that is his fantasy. That's his lifelong dream. But we don't ever hear why.
How many people does he do that to?
Three in
well,
total.
Three.
Okay.
He does the three people who we come to know as the stars of the film, but he has other people in his hospital, his basement hospital, that he has clearly already been experimenting on. I mean, there are other patients down there.
Good.
Gross.
And you don't really find out why, but this is what he wants to do. Is he wants to sew these people together. And this movie was in theaters for a couple of weeks, and it has developed kind of a cult following. We had the guy on a couple of weeks ago who developed the Human Centipede video game that you can play. There's Human Centipede jewelry that's out now. You can go on Etsy.com and buy necklaces with the Human Centipede on it.
I've seen a couple of Human Centipede tattoos.
Yes. Now, how about that bartender in Colorado who got the Human Centipede tattooed across the front of both of his feet?
Yeah. So the person in the middle and the person in the back don't have a lot of lines. That's what you're telling
Correct.
Me.
Correct. Not once the centipede is made.
Right.
Yeah. That's the extent
now,
of their
what
dialogue.
What does he do with the Human Centipede? I mean, is he going to unveil it to the world or what's his?
Well, no because he would get in trouble.
Yeah, he can't reveal. I mean, this is clearly wrong and illegal, and he's a dangerous sociopath. No, he doesn't.
Okay.
He does. He has them hang around the house. He takes them to the pool.
Wait. Do they swim?
No, they would. They would. I don't. They might be able to swim.
I doubt it.
I don't know
because
if they'd
have to practice
again. The middle and back are in trouble.
Yeah, they'd have to practice.
And by the way, here's a good rule of thumb. We always like to leave the kids with a message for every single Kevin and Bean show. If you ever find yourself in a situation where you are going to be part of a human centipede,
right?
You gotta get first.
Dibs
you
on
claim,
front, dibs.
Yeah, you gotta put your hands front. Up immediately and get first.
I got front.
At least,
what we learned from the movie is that don't try to escape because you're gonna get caught and then you're gonna get the middle.
So if you're in that situation,
Be nice.
Just call the front.
Just concede to the fact that you're going to be put into a centipede.
Okay.
And be really nice to the guy so that hopefully you can get the front.
Okay. Yeah, you know, right. I mean, the back is no prize either, because everything that the first two people eat goes through you. Oh, you understand how that works, right?
Wow.
So it's no fun to be part of
That's
the human centipede
gross, right?
in any way, shape, or form. But I will tell you think it's going to be graphic, and it's not. Kevin, you've seen 100 horror films
that have
more blood than this
one.
Okay,
yeah. All right.
And this isn't like that at all. But this, I'm telling you what.
So wait, he takes him out to the pool.
Yes, then he puts him out in the front yard and tells him to go get his newspaper.
But you can have a dog do. But at least three people have to go out and get the newspaper?
Yeah. Yes, they do.
Well,
yes,
that's not a very good use of a human centipede. What
By
else?
The way, he had already stitched his dogs together as a test before he started doing it with people. That's how
see,
he learned
I'm
the procedure.
Out. I can't see that.
No.
They don't show the dogs.
Bean,
they don't
I'm
show
surprised
the dogs,
you. Please. Oh, they don't show them.
They don't All show right. the dogs.
I was going to say, I'm surprised you like that.
No, but don't be in a human centipede is what I'm saying. But this phenomenal German actor in the role he was born to play, this guy who plays Dr. – is it Heater, Mike?
Dr. Heater, yeah.
Dr. Heater.
Honestly, I know it's a low-budget movie that a lot of people haven't seen. He's one of the all-time great horror villains. This guy is unbelievable.
He's amazing,
in this
and
role.
This is how – Bean's right. This is how you know, because – the premise of the movie is so over the top, and it really, there's very little gore. So the movie itself does not haunt you. I mean, you come away from this movie like, oh, I can't get that
is
image.
Is it just mainly
but
weird?
He will haunt you. The actor himself, he's so creepy, he will be stuck in your dreams.
What does it say about a dude if this is the role he was born to play?
I agree. Let's go check his basement.
Now, two other PSs on this human centipede story. One, it's called Human Centipede, the first sequence.
Oh,
and
no.
We have been told by Tom Six, the writer-director that we had on our show back when this movie opened, that the first movie gets the premise out there, but it's nothing compared to the second sequence. He says the second sequence is going to make this movie that we've all seen look like My Little Pony. So I don't know what he's gotten. I don't know if it's the human millipede. I don't know what he's going to do in the next movie.
I'll watch this one, but not the next one.
Apparently, it's going to be crazy. And the other thing is Dr. Heater, the mad scientist who stitches kids together to make a human centipede, we just found out he also put out an album. This guy's got a record.
He sings?
What?
Why didn't we know what this guy had in mind? If we'd only come across this record before, we'd have realized this dude's trouble and needs to be investigated.
Does the human centipede sing backup on this
no,
record?
No, again, because of the construction of the human centipede, they don't really
only
have a lot of ability
sing.
To sing in unison.
See. They could hum.
Yeah.
No, nope, that wouldn't help.
they could hum.
That wouldn't help. All right, so we have the song from the – what's his name? Dr. Heater?
Yeah.
Dr. Heater, yes.
I think you picked the wrong house. You punk asses best grab your diapers, because I'm about to make my dreams come true. It's going down tonight. What? I'm not a sick guy. I'm just misunderstood. I'm a deranged German scientist living in the woods. Here come them tourists. I better let them in. And now my fantasy and surgery's about to begin. Buddy, here's you. We're out here all alone. I'm putting y'all to sleep. Make an incision on your cheekbone. Cut, cut, snip, snip, needle and a thread. What's this? Uh-oh, you got an ass on your head. Pay the price. Now it's time to pay the piper. Butt to head with your ass in a diaper. Look at it this way. There's no need to wipe, and there's no need to fight, cause it's going down tonight. Don't cry, don't beg, don't plead. Six arms, six legs, gonna make a human centipede. One digestive tract with three butts, three heads. What you know about that? Got one Japanese guy, two little whores, one connected body. Now you're gonna do my chores. Go fetch the paper, make me a drink. This human centipede is more helpful than I think. Does it stink? Tell me, how does it taste? I like to watch y'all navigate the spiral staircase. Now what you gonna do when the person right in front of you goes number two? It's a dream come true. This is only the beginning. I promise there'll be more next time a new tourist comes to my door. Don't cry, don't beg, don't plead. Six arms, six legs, gonna make a human centipede. One digestive tract with three butts, three heads. What you know about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
That is
so there you go.
Creepy.
Wow.
Now we know.
What's his address? So we know not to go there. Do we have an address?
You mean like a website?
Don't go to any house in Germany.
Avoid right. Germany.
Just don't go
do
to Germany.
That. Yeah.
All the things that you do.
Oh, I can't wait. This week's
This week's assignment is songs about yellow, the color yellow. Go. Glee got that. All right, it's the world famous K-Rock at 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We'll tell you the story about a waitress fired because she's too fat to work for Hooters. At Hooters, you can only be fat in one area of your body and not the rest. So
you
we'll
don't
tell you
have
about
to be
story.
Fat in that area. No.
You don't even have
really
to be
don't.
Fat there.
No.
That's true. Yeah, Hooters is confused, but we'll discuss that. Also, if there's too much Justin Bieber on your internet, well, we've got an app for that. We'll talk to the creator in just a few minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, time for a Michael Jackson update.
Well, ever since Michael Jackson died, Dr. Conrad Murray has had his medical license suspended in California.
Mm-hmm.
And in, I imagine, a lot of states. But
which, by the way, is intriguing to me because he's only been accused of a crime. It doesn't seem like you ought to be able to take away somebody's license just because somebody claims something.
Well, and the fact
but
is,
he's been fighting it.
Everyone knows who he is, so if you can go or you cannot go. It's pretty much up to you.
I think what they probably do is they suspend you pending whatever
right.
the findings
outcome,
are.
Yeah.
Right.
But the court reversed that and said, you know what? We don't have the jurisdiction to do that. So you have your license back in California, and you can practice.
And although Dr. Murray is currently not practicing any medicine in California, he was afraid that if he lost his license there, then the other states where he is licensed, like Texas and Nevada, might go, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should take it away too.
Yeah.
And then he wouldn't be able to make a living. Because let's face it, the dude needs some dough with the legal uphill battle that he's going to be fighting against Michael Jackson's estate. So
yeah.
Anyway, Dr. Conrad Murray, very happy and, of course, a frequent visitor to the Kevin and Bean Show. And I believe we've got him on the phone right now. Dr. Murray, welcome back, sir. How are you? You must have been very, very pleased. I know Attorney General Jerry Brown was very disappointed with the court's ruling, but they said they had no authority to suspend your license in California.
What? Hey, no!
You have a horn?
That's right, I couldn't say we did the vuvuzela, I say the rat of whom blood clotted to tomorrow, rat of chicken, the dread.
I don't, was there an answer there?
Oh, that man will say it also, right? Good morning, I see island style with a camera rat of tantumbo for back at Tindo.
Did you
were man the screw face the chicken had no come but some teeth knife.
Oh, I heard with screw face.
No, that's
a
conch shell me take on bar coconut.
Doctor, do you have any patients in California that you play?
The California swim, you go to beach style, I swear, corn dog fish, come swim now, come, I squeeze the lime.
I heard corn dogs
squeeze
swimming,
the
squeeze the lime.
Did you take the stand in your own defense? And if so, was there somebody there to translate for you?
Oh, you and me to take the stand, I rich. Look, you down, say, white man come to, so no, Irie, it's better rockatum paisa, blood clot.
That's a no.
Hey, Dr. Murray, is it possible that Rihanna is there? We could say hello just briefly.
Hey, no, but you
so it's always with him. That's
hey,
weird.
Rihanna.
Oh, that's weird. She's there, B.
Oh, she is there. Okay, that's great. I didn't know.
Ah, good morning, Kevin.
Hi.
Now.
Now, Rihanna, why are you hanging out with Dr. Murray so much?
Oh, because if me recite the token boy, Santo Raka, it's Bopopokonto, Dulce, I'm Migri Migri O.
All right, I can see that. Would you mind putting Dr. Murray back on the phone?
Use me, Kaira Tumba, Umbrella, Ella, Ella, Botopo, I am Barata Compo.
Bye to you, too.
Okay. I see you later. Nice to chat with you, Rihanna.
Hey, me, Dr. Conrad Murray.
You sound very similar to Rihanna.
Oh, me, Rihanna, no, son. Same course, the island style is the better course to the white man.
All
but you say, pale skin, not come around this way, she got a dread.
All right, let me try the most basic question I can. Are you happy about this ruling?
I come very kind of, so when I look at
just
this,
a yes or no.
Kind of, just no crystal ball for me, okay? Rockatoon says, flip come style, make it a blood clot.
So put the lime in the coconut, is what you're saying.
Okay. All right, I don't think we're getting anywhere. He's happy, though. I think we can tell he's happy.
Sounds like it, yeah. Thank you, doctor.
Get my ass.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 737.
Was that Justin Bieber? Did we just play Justin Bieber?
No, but that's it.
Bieber fever.
You know, we've seen a lot of teen idols come and go, and they are around for a couple of years, and then they're gone. You never hear from them again until they end up on VH1 and a headband. But I don't get this Justin Bieber kid. I don't get why he's as popular as he is. He's fine. He doesn't make the worst records in the world, but there's certainly nothing exceptional about him. He's not the cutest kid out there.
Oh, I think he's pretty. I think that's what the little girls like. I think he's pretty.
But you know what I'm talking about. Psycho Mike, you deal with a lot of the girls at the teaching Little League and stuff like that. What's the deal with why so crazy over the Biebs?
No, you're exactly right. He is certainly talented and he's kind of cute, but he's not the greatest guy ever, and somehow he has tricked millions of people into believing so, you know?
And I will tell you, nowhere do you find this incredible amount of enthusiasm for Justin Bieber like you do on the internet. Go to any site, any day, and I don't care whether it's CNN or Al Jazeera, you're going to see a Justin Bieber story. You cannot get away from this kid. He dominates the Twitter, he dominates the Facebook, and his fans are just psycho. They talk about him all the time. And if you're at the point where many of us are, where it's too much, where you want to back off the Bieber, well, we've got an app for that.
Dude, I got to tell you, because I don't want to die, love him, and I think everything he does is great. So
it is called
you.
Shaved Bieber, and let's find out about it from the creator of Shaved Bieber. Greg Luch joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Greg. Thanks for coming on, man. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
We're doing great. You heard our discussion about how Justin Bieber got to be so popular. I mean, really just all in the last year or so. What do you think's going on with this kid? Why is he so crazy popular?
I mean, I think I agree with you. I mean, he is kind of cute. I mean, girls think he's pretty, so...
He does, like, super accessible pop music, I guess.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, that's true.
And I don't want to sound like, you know, hey, kids, get off my lawn here. But couldn't he use a haircut? I mean, seriously, couldn't he trim those bangs a little bit?
Yeah. I agree.
Really? Could he trim his bangs? That's what you're going with, Bean?
What about Shaved Bieber? Tell us about this, Greg, because it sounds awesome and useful.
All right. So it's a Firefox add-on that basically installs in your browser that covers up any mention of his name online or any images of him that you see while you're browsing.
So you go to the internet and there's nothing there? It's just dark?
No, yeah, basically, it just covers it up, like taking a marker and covering it over.
But if I, for instance, if I'm on Twitter, for instance, and as is often the case in the top Twitter trends, you'll see, you know, one or two Justin Bieber mentions. What would be in that spot if I were running this Firefox app here?
You would just see a big black block of nothing.
All right.
Oh, that's even better. And how long ago did you come up with this, and how's it taken off for you?
I created this about a month ago and started as just kind of a joke between friends, and this thing has blown up all over the place. It's been absolutely crazy.
Can you do this for anyone? I mean, if we got tired of fill in the blank, could you
J-Lo, for instance?
Oh, totally. Lady Gaga, you name it. The code is open source, so anybody can just take it and change whatever those values are to be anybody and anything.
Awesome.
That's pretty cool.
So if I'm at people.com, for instance, it'll show me the whole page, everything that's on the page about all the other celebrities, but where the Justin Bieber story is, it would just be blacked out.
Yep.
That's pretty incredible.
You're a genius.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from the Beliebers?
Ooh, that's been a touchy issue.
Yeah.
I've been getting lots of really, really, really nice fan mail from them.
Sure. I'm sure you have. Yeah, they love you, right?
Everything from telling me to die, that I'm Hitler.
Wait a minute. You're Hitler?
So they think.
Listen to this, Kevin, because this is in the news story
Maybe
that we saw.
Maybe they don't understand who Hitler is.
This is a news story that we saw about Greg and his invention.
All right.
Please tell me if this is incorrect, Greg, but this is what it said in the story. An irate 15-year-old girl from Switzerland named Alex even went so far as to compare him to Hitler. I just wanted to give you the heads up that you will have many people enraged with you. I'm talking 5 million, me included. I realize that you're just stating an opinion, but what you're doing goes back to World War II all over again. Hitler wanting to erase Jews from society. You want to erase Justin Bieber. That's the note you got?
Yeah. My God. That's the tip of the iceberg.
So you're telling me that she knows who Hitler was and still is supporting that. Wow.
Greg, we're always impressed when anytime anyone is able to come up with something like this, because we, you know, a lot of times we have ideas. We have no idea how to actually make them happen. Is this the type of thing that you can make money off of, or is it just, you know, you're having a laugh?
I'm just having a laugh. I mean, I look at this more as an art piece and consider it very successful to the fact that I've gotten such diverse reactions from so many people all across the world.
But now that it's taken off so much, do you think, hey, maybe I should have tried to make money on it?
Honestly.
I've thought about it. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's just been a fun ride, and I'm kind of enjoying just what's happened so far.
All right, last question for you. Have you heard anything from Justin Bieber?
Not yet. Can you guys help me with that?
No.
Maybe he's,
we have a block,
who knows,
on
maybe
the phones.
He may have a shaved Greg Luch app on his internet. Maybe he can't. Maybe he didn't even know about it.
Ooh, that's a good possibility.
Well, what a burden that would be, wouldn't it?
All right. How do people find it if they want to download this for their own computer use?
They can go to shavedbieber.com.
All right. Download and it. By the way, for folks who are already writing strongly worded letters complaining about the show, it's Bieber. Bieber like Justin Bieber. Not correct. What you think he said, okay?
Correct, yes. Bieber is spelled B-I-E-B, as in boy, E-R.
Right.
So you can do that. Mike wanted me to play the Thriller music over that, but I'm not going to. Tell us what
this
it,
is great.
Tell us what it is, where it is again, where they can find it.
ShavedBieber.com.
All right. There you go.
All right. Okay. Good times, Greg. Great work, man. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. Thanks a lot.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday. Hold on one second. I'm watching the end of Extreme Poodles here.
Chet, ready to go? You want to go get your hair cut? Chet, you want to get your hair blow dried? You want to get the comb? You want to go say hi to Grandma? Yeah? Are you ready to go? You want to go onto the table? You want to get brushed? You want to have a bath? I want to get your hair brushed. You want to get hair brushed?
That woman's not annoying at all. I don't know what you're talking about.
No dog has ever wanted to speak the human word no before more than that one. No!
I think that dog is going to turn on the odor like that monkey turned on that lady. Eventually, that dog is just going to have had enough of being pushed around by that broad. You know, welcome to the Showbiz Beat, by the way. Ralph is out on vacation. Kevin and Bean filling in. A lot of people complain about summertime. You know, Lost went away and 24 went away and all their favorite shows are gone. And what are you going to do without your Parenthood? Or what are you going to do without The Office? Whatever show you're into, it's gone for the summer. But let's not overlook Extreme Poodles on TLC.
Sure.
Let's not overlook the new Betty White series debuting tonight on TV Land called Hot in Cleveland with an extremely realistic premise because she and three of her friends are apparently, although I may have that wrong. I think Betty White may have already been in Cleveland, and then the three ladies that end up moving into her building are on a trip from Los Angeles where they live to Paris where they're vacationing. The plane is somehow diverted to Cleveland, and they never make it to Paris, Kevin, because Cleveland is so awesome, they decide they're just going to uproot their lives and move there.
Okay.
Wow.
That's the premise of the show that debuts tonight is, hey, let's all at the same time decide to leave L.A. and move to Cleveland because we're hot in Cleveland, because men looked at us at the airport. Let's move our lives here.
Oh, I see. Because they're considered hot chicks.
Exactly.
Compared
dumb.
To everyone else.
Dumb. In L.A., who looks at Valerie Bertinelli is what she thinks.
I
moved to Cleveland. All of a sudden, hey, that's Valerie Bertinelli.
But you're saying
that's
the
premise of the movie.
Their plane was forced. They were heading to Paris.
That's right, on
so
vacation.
Then they decided, we don't even want to go to Paris?
Yes.
Let's just stay here?
Because Cleveland is so awesome, they never want to leave it.
No.
Exactly, yes.
No.
So that's the premise. And I'm just saying, look, the show may be fine. I don't know anything about the show. It's got a lot of talented actors on it. It could be fine. If it were fine, it probably wouldn't be on TV Land, but that's just my opinion. But I'm saying it's a ridiculous premise.
Yeah.
And stop it.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you on that. Guys, this is not good news for you. There's an app for that as the commercial on the tech front. Tiffany's has delivered an iPhone app.
Really?
To enable women who can't get guys into the store to look at rings on their iPhone. So now your woman can go to the Tiffany app and check out engagement rings that she might want you to purchase for her.
Wow.
Okay.
It's called the Engagement Ring Finder.
Well, it's probably smart on their part.
You can view various metals and accurately size the ring finger to determine how big a ring should be.
It sizes your finger?
It does. It does everything except for keep your man, who will run from you. So that's good news.
A couple of Miley Cyrus stories in the news this week. She, of course, is out on the promotional trail for a new album called Can't Be Tamed that comes out next Tuesday. A lot of people have been very critical of some of the outfits that she's been wearing on stage, her making out with the backup dancers. She says, look, I'm an adult. Hannah Montana is ending this year. She says she's proud of her body. She works hard to stay in shape, and she should be allowed to grow up and be an adult.
Right, but she's not an adult yet.
Well, she probably feels like she is.
All right.
And Perez Hilton apparently thinks that she is because he had no problem posting on his very popular entertainment celebrity blog a few days ago an upskirt picture of Miley Cyrus where she apparently was getting out of a car without underwear. Well, instantly the picture was taken down. It was only up for a few minutes. And there are many who are suggesting that he is guilty of distributing child pornography and will probably be arrested and charged and could potentially go to jail for it. in case you're wondering what Perez Hilton's defense can possibly be, because let's face it, if anyone knows how old Miley Cyrus is, it's Perez Hilton.
Yes.
He's been covering her since she was 12 years old.
But
he knows she's 17, and he had to know when this picture went up that you can't put bottomless pictures of a 17-year-old on the internet, right?
And no one else on the internet put it up.
No one else would touch it.
That's
right.
Not good.
So Perez finally has made a statement, and I guess he posted a video up on his blog yesterday. Let's hear what his defense is.
Do you think I'm stupid enough to post a photo of Miley if she's not wearing any underwear down there? No. Sure, I like to be controversial, but I don't want to go to jail. People, snap out of it. You look at other photos from that paparazzi set, Miley was clearly wearing underwear. Clearly. The reason I linked to that photo is because I thought she was exiting this car in a very unladylike fashion.
Why did no one else put it up then?
Well, see, that's the question. Let's face it. We know we read all the sites, the superficials and the egotastics and the what would Tyler Durden do? We read them all. Believe me, they would have no problem putting panty shots up of Miley Cyrus. Nobody else had it. Only Perez Hilton had it. And then if it's a panty shot and he thought it was funny the way she was getting out of the car, why did he take it down?
Yeah, I don't...
And so no one has seen this? I mean...
I don't know what the proof is or where those photos are or whatever. Who knows?
Huh.
If I had seen it, Lisa, I certainly wouldn't admit to having seen it.
Yeah, well,
right,
good point.
Because it's illegal. We're going to talk to TMZ in the next... in the 8 o'clock hour coming up. And we'll ask them about that.
Yeah.
We're also going to ask them about the Charlie Sheen story, which is just so bizarre. I don't know if you heard, but about 4 months ago, one of his vehicles was stolen and driven off a cliff. And then... yesterday morning, it happened again. One of his cars over a cliff.
Someone hates him.
Yes. Denise Richards?
Yes, of course.
Is the word just out in the car theft ring that, hey, Charlie has really nice cars? He leaves them in the driveway with the keys in, so go on by and help yourself?
But why don't they just take them? Why do they keep driving them off a cliff?
Are there also instructions that they have to drive them off a cliff? I mean, that's...
yeah, I don't get that.
That's
like, why
clearly
steal a
the
car
same
person. If you're going to dump it 3 minutes later, why bother stealing it? Exactly.
Well, so they still don't have whoever did
we're
it?
We're going to find out the latest in the next hour. We talk to TMZ. But
we have questions.
It hasn't come out in the news who's done it or what they think. It clearly has to be the same person. If it's going off a cliff at the exact same spot twice.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
I don't know. A couple more showbiz stories here on the Kevin and Bean program. Megan Fox gearing up for publicity. She's got that new movie Jonah Hex coming out here soon. She's currently working on an indie film called Passion Play opposite Mickey Rourke. Now, I don't know anything about this movie, but here's the brief synopsis, and you guys tell me what you think. Mickey Rourke is playing a heroin addict and trumpet player. Okay.
Well, that does happen a lot.
It actually does.
It does.
A Miles Davis or somebody, right? That's not uncommon. Megan Fox is playing a girl with bird wings. Literally, she has wings. She describes the bizarre story as a tragic modern film noir. So she is moving on from Transformers. This is what she's doing. I don't know anything about Passion Play. Maybe it's great. But Mickey Rourke and Megan Fox, it does sound bizarre. I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
This is a bizarre story. Jocelyn James.
Yeah.
You recognize the name?
Tiger's Hose?
She's one of Tiger's Hose.
Okay.
She went to the LAPD office yesterday to file a police report accusing another Tiger Woods mistress of stealing stuff from her. So now they're starting to accuse each other back and forth.
Are they hanging around together, these girls?
Well, apparently they were on the set of this porn movie, the Tiger-themed porn movie.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And she claims that the other woman, Devon James, went through her purse and stole jewelry, cash, and a cell phone. So now it's getting ugly.
Wow.
Now the girlfriends are fighting.
That's bad.
And
you don't want that.
No, you don't want that. Because there's guaranteed to be some information that's going to come out of that that Tiger doesn't want. Besides the fact that yesterday there was a story that he has a kid with one of them.
Right.
They should make all those girls live in a house.
I agree.
That should be Big Brother this
Does
summer.
Tiger get to visit?
All of Tiger's mistresses. And then Tiger gets to visit, and they do like they do on The Bachelor, where he has to sit in a room and he has to hear from each woman what they think about him. Oh, that would be the best show ever.
Yeah.
And finally, I saw this on ABC's Overnight News show, the overnight program that airs before Good Morning America. They were doing the story about a riot that broke out in New York yesterday, a place called the South Street Seaport, was hosting a free concert for two artists who have albums out this month. One is the rapper Drake. The other is the band Hanson. The two of them were performing for free. They had planned for, and the police were prepared for, about 10,000 people. Well, more than 20,000 people showed up. It got crowded. It got out of hand. Fights broke up. Had problems with the people climbing up on roofs and on cars and everything else. So they canceled the concert, and it was a riot. But I still don't think it was called for what this reporter did to poor Drake on the news this morning.
Here in New York, a free concert had to be canceled after the young crowd became too big and too unruly. 20,000 fans descended on Manhattan's South Street Seaport to see breakout rapper Drake and the band Hanson.
I don't know that you need to call him a raper. Come on. Hold on. Let me hear that again. It can't be what's on the card.
20,000 fans descended on Manhattan's South Street Seaport to see breakout raper Drake.
Oh, how are you going to come at him like that?
You think somebody said it in your ear?
It's rapper. It's not raper.
I didn't even know Miss Cleo was running the teleprompter over there at ABC. Today's celebrity birthdays, my doppelganger, the celebrity I look exactly like, Phil Mickelson, the golfer, is 40 years old today.
You do look a lot like
so
him.
So much like him. It's creepy what I see
like
him on TV.
Or like Terry Schiavo.
Oh, man.
From Flash Forward and, of course, the Harold and Kumar movies, 38-year-old actor John Cho celebrates his birthday today. Missy Peregrim is a very popular actress. She's on that, whatchamacallit show. She's
Doesn't
on
matter, Belle.
Chuck show, right?
She is on
Reaper.
And then she's in the new one, Rookie Blue.
That's right, yeah. Hey, you have to decide whether you believe he faked his own death and is still alive. If so, Tupac Shakur is 39 years old today. And our friend the P, ladies and gentlemen, Petros Papadakis, is 33 today. That's Ralph Sobeth. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, speaking of the Red Hot Chili Peppers, you see Anthony Kiedis at the Lakers game last night? Of course, he's at all the Lakers games, but he was there. You know, he's that's ridiculous hair that he's wearing for a man of his age, first of all. But it's very mullet-like what Kiedis has got going on lately. I don't know if you can see that last night. Very but the smartest thing in the world, here's why he rules. He goes to the game with Rick Rubin, and all of a sudden it makes Kiedis look so young and so virile. Because Rick Rubin, the famous record producer, is the walking death.
Well, he does look like he's a mountain man.
Yeah.
He's a genius.
He's unbelievable. I have nothing but respect for the guy. He's incredible. I mean, he's one of the greatest record producers in history, yet he looks like a homeless guy that he just picked up, you know, selling fruit on the freeway.
It's funny you say that because Jack Nicholson's been bringing Lou Adler to the games for years now. Maybe there's something with ugly record producers that you got to do it as a celebrity to park him right next to you to make
you
look hot.
Better. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a bad idea. I mean, that's what I do when I go to a mall is I park next to a really nice car.
Uh-huh.
So if one gets stolen, they're not going to steal mine. They'll steal a really nice car.
Even if your car is okay, it looks like a beater if you park it next to the best thing on the lot. Right,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Kevin and Bean Show here. It is time to talk about one of our favorite subjects, which is Hooters.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
Hooters, of course, is the internationally famous chicken and chicken wings restaurant, and they are especially famous for their waitresses and the fantastic outfits that the waitresses wear. But there's been a little bit of controversy in Hooterville lately. A couple of news stories have come to our attention. Listen up. Here's one.
Rachel Crow, that former employee, is 5'3" tall and weighs 123 pounds. Measurements some women are striving for, but she says they weren't enough for Hooters.
You do know when you get hired that you are supposed to maintain your image.
She says that twice during her time there, she was asked to complete a weight challenge. The first round, she went from 127 pounds to 123, but she says a year later, she was asked to do it again, even though she hadn't gained any weight.
They sat me down, and she was like, Rachel, you did a wonderful job last year at your weight challenge. You know, pretty much we expect you to do it again.
A few months later, she tells us she was fired. While Hooters corporate headquarters hasn't responded specifically to this incident, they sent me a response to a similar claim. We will say that our practice of upholding an image standard based on an appearance, attitude, and fitness for Hooters girls is both legal and fair. It's not unlike the standard used by the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders or the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes. Because of their celebrity-like status and the financial rewards of the job, there are many who want the position. However, as popular as the job may be, being a Hooters girl is not for everyone.
All right, first of all, how fat does that reporter sound, first of all? And second of all, I have a lot of trouble visualizing when I hear height and weight numbers. 5'3", 123. Lisa, what's that like?
Well, I calculated the BMI, which is 21.8. It's
that's a crazy BMI.
Which
BMI?
A lot of people would know. It's a basic way of calculating whether you're normal or overweight or underweight. And she's right in the middle. But That's not fat.
And also, BMI is useless because she could be really buff. I mean, what if she works out like crazy? I mean, then she's gonna actually very thin.
She could be, a size would be more helpful,
right,
actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because so she could be a size two.
What size, what do you think she is? Probably about a two? Because a two
about
would
a four.
Be small.
I would
about
say
a four? That's,
a four.
A four is nowhere near being fat.
No.
There's Isn't another... the average American woman like a 20, Mike?
Oh, I can tell you right out of the gate, 5'3", 123 or whatever she was, she ain't a bikini model, but she's far from fat.
Right.
Far from fat.
Right.
I mean, that's way away, nowhere near the fat ballpark.
Now, it's not even near the fat ballpark?
No.
No. The parking lot?
No.
No. Okay.
She isn't even getting in her car to drive to the ballpark.
There's another girl, Cassandra, what's her name? Cassandra something, Smith.
Okay.
She's 5'8", 132. And I think we put pictures up at at kevinandbean.com. And she's not fat at all. But the question is it all right for Hooters to do that? To
legally they
have,
can.
You know, demands on what they look like? And I imagine that the answer has to be yes.
It has to be.
Yeah.
But in these cases, they're not fat. So what do you do if they...
So what's going on?
If, like, Spencer's running Hooters, you know, what do you do if there's, like, a dude there that's like, oh, you're way too heavy?
Look, they do.
There's just some guy because they're not putting out that fires them and just says they're fat.
Well, I mean, I think it all boils down to when you know you're getting into an occupation or going to a job that is based in looks, even slightly, you know, you run the risk of losing your job based on something like that. I have a friend of a friend who is a male model, and he was working for a certain agency.
You can say it. It's
and,
me.
It is. And he is, he's a little taller, not much, maybe half an inch taller. He's like 5'11". So he's not tall, especially for a model.
Right.
And everything was fine when he was working for this agency when someone else was running it. As soon as someone else took over, they called him up and they let him know that they're going to drop him from this agency, that he's getting closer to 30 as opposed to 20, and he doesn't meet their standards. And it's just they change management, and that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's the same thing. When
that's how thin do these girls have
to get? But wait, that's a hazard of that type of job,
and
right?
Same thing goes for Hooters. And even though by our standards, we're all agreeing that these girls are not fat.
They're not at all fat.
5'8", 132.
That's one of the jobs, I guess, that falls into the criteria of being a manager at Hooters. If the manager at Hooters doesn't think she's thin,
let me ask you guys this. And I think the Hooters people in their statement that you heard in that news report are smart to say it's just like the standard they have for the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders or the Radio City Music Hall Rockettes. You know that a certain level of fitness is required to put on that uniform and look good in it and do that job. But doesn't it sound like Hooters, if they're telling the girls, hey, we're firing you, in the other case, hey, we're putting you on probation until you lose the weight, sounds like they're begging for a lawsuit. Why not just say, we've received complaints from customers? You know, I mean, why are they even getting into these waters? Or is it just that they feel like it's 100% within the right and they want to make sure the word gets out there that don't gain an ounce?
I don't know. Listen, the vice president of marketing for Hooters said, we will not make any comment on a current employee except to say that no employee in Michigan has been counseled about their weight. So basically they're denying that anyone ever said anything like that.
That they were fired because of their weight?
That they were even counseled about. That they even were told about it.
Right, but the biggest problem here that isn't being said, and it's the elephant in the room, is that sometimes Hooters hires girls without big boobs.
Yes!
And what's up with that?
That's the real problem, is that
By
they
the way,
have a minimum
well,
cup size.
Do these girls have boobs? Did you see photos?
The one in the photo has giant boobs.
Yeah, she's the perfect Hooters girl.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
they hired
nothing wrong with
girl?
That.
Well, I don't know if she's the one that got fired or
she's
the one that
probation.
Got suspended.
Probation, yeah. Because there's nothing more disappointing than making the decision to go to Hooters. And the food's fine, don't get me wrong, but you go for the waitress. And then you get, you know, Flatty McNoBoob shows up at your table. Nobody wants
That's all accurate, but that's not the topic.
That's
it
not the topic.
Right. It turns out.
Okay,
all
so
right.
The topic is, should they be able to do this, A? And B, certainly if you've worked at a Hooters and you're a girl and you
like
have some input on this, I'd like to know how they treat you, how they talk to you. I defend their right to do it because it is... You know, like a model, it's kind of the part of the job description. Both of the girls that I've seen are not fat at all, but...
Yeah, it really sounds like maybe there was a manager that...
One crazy manager?
Yeah, it was having a problem.
I mean, I just...
I don't know.
I mean, I hate to sound like some, like, right-wing nut, but I think we should... If we start regulating how a private business runs their business... Then it starts muddying the waters, and I mean we can apply our influence by not going to that business if we don't agree how they practice their business.
I might agree with you, Mike, but let's not start encouraging businesses to hire fatty either.
No. but my point being is that look, I mean, it's terrible to say that they don't want to hire girls that don't meet their standards. Fine. If you don't agree with it, then you shouldn't go eat at Hooters. That's the way you impose your influence on them. We can't really decide how they want to run their business, in my opinion.
All right.
What the hell are their standards?
It does seem weird, because I've certainly been to plenty of Hooters where there's women way fatter and way flatter chested than these girls.
Yeah.
And they
what
seem to keep their
job. What do
you
think about the Hooters policy? You have heard the discussion of the two women in the news right now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll come back, take your calls right after this on the Kevin. We've got Miley Cyrus and Charlie Sheen questions we're going to ask of our friend Dax Holt from TMZ.com coming up in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, though, we're taking your calls on two Hooters stories in the news at 1-800-520-1067, where they appear to have pretty strict standards on how much their waitresses are allowed to weigh. One is on suspension, one has been fired, and by the descriptions and the photos that we've seen of both of these gals, they don't seem like they're fat at all.
Mm-mm.
So what's going on over there at Hooters?
Well, I mean, there's two questions. One is, these two girls don't look fat at all, so I don't understand that. But second, should they be able to fire or suspend somebody for weight? And it
right.
seems like they should.
Well, it is legal.
Yeah, I mean,
let's talk to Jay. He is or has been a manager at Hooters, and he's on line six. Maybe he can shed some light on the policy. Hey, Jay, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, Popozao.
Hey, Popozao to you as well. So, do you currently still work for the Hooters or no?
No, I left the company a few years ago.
All right.
Okay. Were you surprised when you heard this topic on the radio today and heard the stories that we were describing?
No, not at all. It happens all the time. It's so frequent at Hooters. It's unbelievable.
The company says that no one in Michigan, I guess where this one of these stories came from, has ever been counseled about their weight.
I don't know.
They're
don't
lying?
Know about Michigan. I don't know about Michigan, but I think that smells like BS to me.
Yeah.
But in California, for sure, it happens all the time.
Okay, Jay, but listening to our description of these girls, I mean, how thin are they supposed to be?
Well, it depends on the restaurant manager, really.
Like, so each individual...
If he just wants size zeros, then that's what he gets?
Yeah.
Well, it depends on how the girl treats the manager. It really does.
Mm.
Like, if she rubs him the wrong way somehow...
Or won't rub him.
What?
Or won't rub him.
Oh, how dare you.
But I mean, when you were the manager, though, if you had girls that gained 10 pounds or something like that, would you say something to them? Was that kind of part of your job description, was try to keep all those girls in line?
Well, I was the assistant manager, so yes, if I was instructed to, I would, unfortunately, be the one who would have to pull them aside and say, you know, are you going to the gym or what's going on?
And Jay, did those girls look chunky to you?
No. To me, personally, not all the time, but sometimes you can see it. Like,
all right, let me ask this question. So each Hooters, the individual manager, has complete discretion over what's fat and what's not fat.
For the most part, yeah. It's kind of become this unspoken thing. I still have a few girlfriends who work mm-hmm. at the Hooters. Not the one I worked at, but a different one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say.
Doesn't matter.
That's all right.
Go ahead.
Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, and they tell me that it's gotten kind of progressively worse because the manager has changed. So he apparently, one of the girls he doesn't like as much because she got pregnant. And so when she came back, she had... gained a little bit of weight.
Right.
And after when she came back from her maternity leave, she got fired a few months later because her image had obviously changed.
Well, clearly women shouldn't be having babies. I mean, that's just
right.
crazy.
Listen,
we all agree on that.
We don't have time to take all these calls. Jennifer is calling to say former Hooters girl, worst company to work for. Blanca, a female, is saying Hooters is right. There are too many fat people in the world. And I'd like to bring C into the conversation very quickly. Hi, C.
Hi, Kevin and Dean.
Hi.
So you work for Hooters?
I did for 6.5 years, Pasadena, right next to you guys.
And what do you think about the policy?
The policy, I think, I don't see anything wrong with it. And the reason being is because size 4 is not big by any means.
Right.
But the shorts and the shirts there, when we worked there, it was your choice between double extra small or extra small. So
wow.
They don't even make them in mediums?
No. And, you know what? Actually, and this is pretty sad, not sad, but this is, we got a wrong shipment one time, and it was for a Midwest store, and it was mediums, and we had to send them back.
All right.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So when they come in double extra small or extra small, and you are a size 4, when you put it on, it's going to hug you so tight. It's going to make you look like you have rolls or love handles that maybe you don't have.
Yeah,
you know?
Look.
So, that was Jay on the phone.
Yeah.
So, C, I didn't realize Jay was still with us, but C, so did you see this happen in your time at Hooters where girls were called into the office and said, hey, it's time to drop a few pounds?
Yes.
Hold on, Jay. We're asking C.
Yes, Aaron, us girls in the locker room, we used to wrap ourselves with saran wrap because it will make you tighter, and then it like your skin tight, and then you wouldn't have any love handles. And I would be a size 0, sometimes a size 2, and I would still wrap myself with the saran wrap because the shorts are so tight.
Wow. Boy, does it suck being a woman.
Wow,
does it suck.
Well, it does at Hooters.
Now, CMG, I want you both to answer this, and then we have to go. Isn't the bigger issue that there are girls at Hooters that don't have Hooters?
Oh, I wanted to tell you guys that. It's not about your breast size. It's about, because I was telling them, that when a girl comes in, the manager will be in the office, and we'll be like, okay, we have a girl here with the her application. And then they would say, well, is she hot? And if we said no, they wouldn't come out. They would just tell her that we'll be in touch. And if she was hot, then the manager would come out. So it isn't about the booth size.
That's what our complaint is.
It's an unfortunately named restaurant.
Yeah, don't call it Hooters if those aren't a requirement to work there. I don't care whether a girl is 20 pounds overweight or not. Give us some boobs if we're coming to Hooters. That's all.
I agree.
You should call it too skinny.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you,
Jay.
Thank you,
Jay. And all the other calls we didn't have a chance to get to. Thank you very much. We'll take a quick break. TMZ.com updates all the showbiz news right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. I think you should just break into his house and steal his car. I mean, why not? If Charlie Sheen is giving him away, if he's putting up a neon sign above his house that says free cars, keys in, help yourself, why not?
Right? I have a strong desire to steal his car and drive over the cliff.
It's a crazy story between that and Miley Cyrus. What the hell is going on today? Let's find out from TMZ.com's Dax Holt, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Dax?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Thank you.
Well, we're fine, and I know you love it when there's excitement over there in the TMZ newsroom. I can't get my head around how two cars were stolen from Charlie Sheen's house. Apparently, he was not in them and not even aware that they were stolen. 4 months apart, and they both end up going down a mountain. What's going on, Dax?
I have no idea. Who leaves their keys in the car and just kind of like, all right, come steal my cars, drive them off a cliff. Like, I just don't care anymore. Maybe that's just how rich he is.
Right,
it doesn't even matter.
But I could see that the first time. He's in a gated community or whatever. But this happened 4 months ago, so...
And the best part is they have surveillance tape and everything, and you just can't see the person, so they can't identify them. The guard gate has a videotape, too, and you can't see anyone driving in that one. I'm just like, well, so what's the point of even having a security camera if you don't catch anyone?
Just turn it off at night. It's not going to be useful. All you're going to see is a silhouette.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I'm just thinking, I am heading over there tomorrow, and I'm getting myself a new Mercedes.
Now, Dax, they must think it's the same it has to be the same person, because nobody else would drive it over the same cliff.
Exactly, and it's the same spot on the cliff. I mean, come on. So, I don't know. It sounds like an inside job or a really good joke by Brooke Mueller.
So the police investigation on the incident back in February yielded no suspects. That's a dead end as far as you know.
Well, it's a dead end so far on this one, too. I mean, they're just like, well, we can't find anyone, and the surveillance video doesn't help out. I'm thinking there's no fingerprints, nothing else. Come on.
What's happening with that? It's Charlie.
Well, that was a question I was going to ask. We got a couple of emailers who said, if I were drunk driving, for instance, and ran my car off the cliff and didn't want to answer a bunch of questions about how I got there and what happened, I would come up with, oh, my car was stolen. Any possibility that Charlie Sheen is somehow involved in these?
Oh, I mean, there's a total possibility, but you think there would be some surveillance video of him walking back to the house or something else. I don't know if someone came to pick him up, but I think that's a total plausible. But
he wouldn't drive it over the cliff. I mean, he would send it over the cliff. But he wouldn't drive it. He'd get killed.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, whoever's doing it is getting out of the car and literally just pushing it down. However, the first time, there were a bunch of cars in the neighborhood that were involved in it, a couple cars that wound up in the ditch.
I didn't know that. That's why we were at. That's why we call you.
Yeah.
So that's somebody did other cars that weren't his?
Well, that was the first time around. This time, it's only been his car.
Okay.
Interesting. Crazy story. How do you think this is going to end? What do you think we're going to find out? Any theories that you're feeling good about, Dax?
I think it has to be some kind of inside job. I mean, who really has access inside his gated community to get into the garage? I mean, the first time he left the garage open, this time I don't think he left the garage open. So it just seems like, well, someone has to know Charlie and has to know that the keys are in the car and to take it.
If this is not revenge, Denise Richards, or if it's not revenge, then it has to be the greatest practical joke ever.
That's true.
If somebody's playing a practical joke on Charlie Sheen, they get mad props.
And, you know, Charlie can afford
of course.
To lose a car or two. It's a no big deal.
You know unbelievable. Paying child support to Denise Richards? Like $55,000 a month.
Yeah.
Well, she, kids got to eat. Come on, Dax. You know. All right. That's a great story, and I know that you will be staying right on top of that at TMZ.com. We have really been talking a lot the last 2 days about these Miley Cyrus upskirt photos that Perez Hilton posted, and now there's some chatter that he may be arrested and charged with distributing child pornography. Now, as far as we understand, no one else put these photos up, just Perez. Is that right, Dax?
That is correct. Well, the thing is, they were shot by an agency, and they were pitched out to me. I kind of thought, I was like, whoa, you guys can't do this. She's underage. And then immediately, the agency pulled down the photos, sent out a retraction, said, we're sorry, we didn't notice that was the photo, and pulled them down. Well, somehow, he still got his hands on it and posted it.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Yeah, he could be in huge trouble.
He's the only one. He has now come out and said that she's wearing underwear in the photos.
Well, yeah, he's like, oh, she's not dumb enough to go out
right.
wearing, you know, just a dress and no undies, and I don't know.
Did you see the pictures?
I'm not going to jail. I'm not saying anything.
So, no. You're a smart man.
But Perez certainly would have – I mean, look, not that I've seen the pictures because why would I have seen the pictures? But Perez certainly would have been able to tell whether she was wearing underwear or not. And if there was any question, he should be smart enough in the line of work that he's in because he has to make the same kind of decisions that you guys do at TMZ.com of what's legally allowed to be put on the internet or not.
Yeah,
so
I mean,
it's on him. It's not on Miley. Miley's a bonehead for lots of reasons. It's on Perez if he's putting these pictures up and there's even a possibility that they're child pornography.
Exactly. I mean, anything – there was photos out this morning of Demi Lovato, who's another Disney star in a bikini, and we're just like, we don't even want to put those
right,
up.
Even
it's
a bikini.
Too risky. Yeah.
We can wait until they're 18. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
exactly.
She's still going to be flashing it when she's 18.
There's no question in Miley's case.
We can wait till then.
She is getting a little out of control.
Yeah, she's
so.
Going right
she's
to porn, isn't she? She's going to go to
no
porn
question.
As soon as she can.
So, Dax, so what do you think is going to happen? I mean, is this the type of thing that's high profile enough that the L.A. district attorney is going to feel like they need to make a statement or do something in the Perez case?
I think once there's enough media attention around it, they feel that they have to respond to it. So if people keep talking about it, he keeps putting up responses, eventually I think someone's going to look into it and decide if they want to press charges or not.
Another listener asked, what about the guy who took the photograph, even if they didn't realize until after the fact that it was actually a little lippier than they thought it was when they shot it? What about that guy? Is he in any kind of risk?
I think he could be in risk. I really do, because the fact that you distributed it at first,
right.
putting it through an agency, even if you didn't mean to, I think that there's still a chance of getting in trouble, kind of secondary trouble. You didn't
All right,
publish it,
last question then. If Miley Cyrus turns out to be the one who's stealing Charlie Sheen's car, how awesome is that going to be for you at TMZ.com?
I just want it to be an exclusive story that we have photos, something. That's all I want.
Perfect storm.
All right. TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. TMZ television is on everywhere. Please check your local listings. Dax, thanks for coming on the Kevin Bean Show, man.
Bye, guys.
You got to hear this story. You got to hear the guy talking at the press conference, the guy who tried to amputate his own arm. We will explain and tell you the unhappy consequence of that coming up in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show. Right now, Ralph was on vacation this week. Psycho Mike this hour filling in on the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Mike?
I have terrible news.
What?
I have terrible
Do we
news.
Need taps?
Yeah, maybe.
Bean, you have taps?
We might need taps because
really?
This is going to be the death of millions of boners all over the world.
Uh-oh, I don't want to hear that.
Within the last 2 hours, gentlemen, we have learned that Megan Fox is off the market.
She got married?
She's, in fact, engaged to Brian Austin Green.
That's not over yet.
Oh, she's all been engaged to him before.
Has she?
Yes.
This is bad news.
She might marry him this time?
I don't know. It's not like I had a shot with her anyway, but here's the good part.
You had
here's
a shot.
He did, though.
Here's
did.
The very, very, very funny twist.
Yes.
Reportedly, he proposed to her on June 1st out on the Big Island. They were at the Four Seasons there on vacation. There's all those pictures of her and him coming in out of the ocean. She's in a bikini and stuff.
Right, yeah.
And he proposed to her right there on the shore in the Big Island. And in the celebration, Megan dropped the ring. And to this day, it has not been found. Hotel staff has spent hours and hours and hours scouring that area throughout
find
the sand.
Keepers,
and
man.
There is still a 2-carat sparkler buried in the sand right there. And
How much would that cost?
Dude,
that
is so Freudian. Come on. They were together. They broke up. They're together again. She drops the ring in the sand.
Oh, what happened? I dropped the ring. What a shame.
What's going on?
Well, he got the ring from the Excalibur Jewelers here in Beverly Hills. And like I said, it's a 2-carat ring. So if you ladies are desperate, you might want to head out there.
Head out to Hawaii?
Gold miners.
Something to do while you're at the beach.
How do you give up a search like that? It has to be a relatively small area where they were.
Well, she might not know exactly where she lost it. I mean, maybe it slipped off and she didn't, like...
And
it could be a bigger area.
Clean sand is about the worst place to lose something. Because it can't just go anywhere.
Metal detectors?
I don't know. But, I mean, this is from Us Weekly. This is not some, you know, bogus story. But like Lisa mentioned, they had a previous 2-year engagement that they called off in February of last year. But looks like they're engaged again.
Maybe.
This is terrible news for most men. Great news for Bean. There are sex photos, supposedly, of Betty White now circulating around.
Nope. That is what I'm talking about.
No.
Now, she posed nude. She posed nude back in the day.
I got those. Those are
photos from back
like
in the day?
For like a trading card, like a kind of sexy pinup girl trading card deal.
She was 100 when I was born. When was back in the day? The 1910s?
40s. This was like the Lincoln administration.
Yeah.
But she was hot. I have to say, she was hot back
she
in the
was.
Day. Yeah. And,
but these are current photos.
Are supposedly from the 1980s, and they're with former husband Alan Ludden. Is that his name, Bean?
Yeah, Alan Lund. He was the host of Password.
And he's since passed away, but supposedly sloppy deck chair, Kevin, little chocolate pizza, West Side glaze. Mm-mm. Yeah, they're very, very rich.
That's a terrible idea.
That is a terrible idea.
Not a lot of moisture in the pictures, though.
Her vagina is the cinnamon challenge.
It's pewter frosted cinnamon challenge.
All right, let's move on.
All right, last story. Justin Timberlake. Listen to this. I was shocked to hear this story. Reportedly, he took a liking to a certain Laker girl that he met during the game in these NBA Finals series when he was at the game. He summons the female leader of the Laker girls.
Right.
Told her to pass along the message that he was a big fan and that he would like her to give him a call, and gave her his personal number.
Right.
Okay.
The Laker girl in question said, "No way. I know he has a girlfriend, and I'm not going to call up Justin Timberlake. I don't want to be," and I quote, "the next Bombshell McGee."
Wow.
How about that? Wait, are you telling me that these high-profile cheating stories, like the Tiger Woods and the Jesse James, is now going to make it harder for other guys to cheat?
Yes! So not only are these broads home wreckers, they're cheating wreckers. They're mistress wreckers.
You know, that angle completely eluded
me. So they're wrecking the chance for every other guy that wants to cheat.
Not only are they breaking up the happy home, they're ruining your chance with your mistress, too. You heathens!
That's unfortunate.
You reprehensible succubus of a woman. That's about it. Celebrity birthdays. It's Petros Papadakis' birthday. That's all that matters.
Petros Papadakis.
Everybody's
celebrating
his birthday.
You're the only one clapping. I feel bad. Let's all clap.
That is the Ralph Show.
Coming up in a couple minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to tell you about a new kid in the news who's drinking and smoking at the age of 3. So good parents right there. Right now, though, I want to introduce you to Mr. Jonathan Metz. He is your Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
And now it's time for you to meet Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
He's at his home in Connecticut, guys. He's in the basement. He's working on the furnace, and he's replacing something called the fin in his furnace. I don't know what that is, but somehow his arm gets stuck.
Okay.
And he can't get his arm out.
Right.
And then he still can't get his arm out. And then an hour goes by, and then 5 hours goes by, and then 12 hours goes by, and he's stuck in the basement with his arm in the furnace. What is he going to do?
Now, is his arm burning?
It doesn't say that. That's an interesting question, because how much pain you're in is going to have a lot to do with the decision that Mr. Metz made next, which is, amputate.
He found a saw, right?
He did. He had his toolbox close enough to him because of the tools he was using to work on the furnace that he was able to pull out a hacksaw and start trying to chop off his own arm. Now, look, I understand that guy from a couple of years ago who was involved in a mountain climbing accident, and he was out in the middle of nowhere. No one knew where he was. No one was looking for him, and he knew he was going to die there if he couldn't get out.
Right.
I wouldn't do it. I would have just died. But I can understand at least why that guy felt the need to cut his arm off. But here's a guy with a fiance, with a dog, he's got a job. You'd think 2 or 3 days in, people are going to come looking for him, right?
Well, of course. He's indoors, right? He's in his basement. It's not like he's going to freeze.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
He
yeah,
has a fiance?
He's safe. He does. So you would think, look, this sucks, but I just need to sit here for as long as it takes for somebody to come looking for me. I don't ever get to the point where I think, you know, I'm going to miss that new Betty White show tonight if I don't cut my arm off and get upstairs. That doesn't happen to me, right? So he starts amputating his own arm with a hacksaw. And he
and
gets
by the
about,
way, that's not a fast, like, chop off your finger with an axe
no.
thing. That's a you have to start cutting. And each cut only does a little bit.
I don't know
yeah.
how you ever do that.
I wouldn't. Either. I would be. I would die.
And then when you
die.
Get to the bone?
Too bad. Gotta
oh.
die.
And usually that's Lisa's favorite part when you get to the bone.
But
sure.
not, in this case.
Not this case, right?
69.
Well, anyway, here's the press conference. He was on TV yesterday talking about how he made the decision and what ended up happening.
How am I going to get my arm out? I struggled. It just made it worse. And so after about 18 hours of being trapped... with my arm stuck in the boiler, I fashioned a tourniquet out of the shirt I was wearing, tied it as best I could, and started cutting.
When you're watching him at the hospital, by the way, up there behind the desk, you know, taking questions and talking to the mic, all you're thinking is, A, that dude's got one arm.
Yeah.
And B,
oh, he cut
dumbass.
It off. Wait, he cut
dumbass.
It off?
Well... He got
well,
mostly through, right? And then
yes, he yeah. got it got mostly through. Then you'll find out what happened to it after that.
The cut was going well, for surprisingly well, actually, for about halfway through. And then I don't know if I hit an artery or a vein or whatever it was, but the level of blood that began to come out of the wound became alarming. I sat down as best I could at that point.
By the way, I would imagine that that would be a huge concern is bleeding out, right?
Yes.
How do you not predict that it's going
to
bleed if you cut off your arm? So what?
It just wasn't tight enough.
Yeah, I think he thought that he was going to be able to control the bleeding, that he had enough going on that he could stop that and then just walk upstairs and call 911 with his good hand. But I think the bleeding got too much, and I don't know whether it was a bone or a nerve that he encountered that he just decided he couldn't go on, so he decided to give up.
And started to have thoughts that this was going to be it. I did the mental math and didn't see that I had the time to complete a cut with no tourniquet. I spent some time thinking about, you know, what I had to lose and what I would be leaving behind, family, fiance, friends.
Okay, again, family, fiance, friends, maybe hold off on cutting the arm until somebody comes looking for you. And
I'm,
by the way...
I'm suggesting doing the math before the cut. That's the bad timing when you start cutting.
Well, so
you get halfway through, you're surprised that it's bleeding, and then you do the math.
I guess he couldn't get the tourniquet on until he finished cutting. Right?
Well, what
that
happened
makes sense,
was...
because it'd have to go over above the cut.
He ended up cutting his arm halfway off, and then he gave up. It was bleeding too much, and then he continued to lay there on the floor, drifting in and out of consciousness. And eventually, what we hoped would happen happened, which is the people at work went, hey, where's John? Anyone seen John? So they went over to his house. His car was in the driveway. His dog was barking. Nobody answered, so they broke in, called the firefighters, and they came and used one of those spreaders that they use to take the roofs off of cars in
right.
accidents. They used one of those
Jaws
to separate
life.
The – right. So they used that to separate the furnace, and when they pulled the furnace apart, that's when what was left of Mr. Metz's arm fell off.
Oh.
So it was so damaged he cut almost all the way through, so he did lose the arm at the same time he was being rescued, which means in retrospect maybe didn't have to cut off the arm at all.
He was being rescued. The only thing that endangered him was his own cutting.
Exactly. That's why Jonathan Metz is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day.
Now you know Kevin and Bean's Citizen of the Day.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show with a final look at the Showbiz Beat coming up in just a few minutes. A couple of weeks ago, we had a lot of people sending us that story about that that big fat kid. I think that kid was in Asia also,
yeah.
who was smoking like crazy. And we thought, well, that's weird. There can't be too many of those. Now somebody's gone and topped it, Kevin.
Well, there's a 3-year-old named Ya Wen in China.
Hey!
Hey!
And Ya, little girl, started smoking cigarettes and drinking.
Oh, no.
She's drinking beer after she was hit by a speeding van and spent 5 days in a coma. She came out of the coma, and her parents say it's weird she acts like an adult now.
Well, if you let her smoke and drink.
So she would steal her dad's cigarettes. She would also go to the local store and get cigarettes on credit because the store owner thought they were for her dad.
Oh.
But it doesn't explain why they didn't stop her from smoking. She's three.
Yeah.
And drinking beer.
Yeah, absolutely. That doesn't make any sense at all. So we have many questions. We asked producer Alex if she could line up the parents. And I think we have Mr. and Mrs. Wen on the phone with us right now from China. Hi, you guys.
They're not here, round eye. What you want?
It's Kevin and me. We're calling from America. We want to talk about their little girl, Ya Wen, who we read about that's been smoking and drinking, even though she's only three.
Yeah, this is Yao. What do you want?
You're Ya Wen? You're the three-year-old Chinese girl?
Yeah, how you do, round eye?
Well, we're doing fine. I can't believe how good your English is at three.
Well, I can't believe I do a lot of things at three, you know? I'm advanced for my age.
Well, according to the story, you are smoking cigarettes and drinking beer.
Yeah.
At three.
That's right.
That seems young to us.
Well, that's because you did not stop soon enough.
Didn't
you start when I thought, you know, it's good. I like drinking.
Yeah, so do I, but you don't start at three.
You got to start sometime.
Here in the United States, what most teenagers do is they sneak out of the house and they start drinking and smoking, you know, around 13, 14 years old. Even, you know, that's three is young. That's all we're saying.
10 years wasted, I think.
I see what you're saying. Now, here's the part of the story that was really curious to me. According to your parents, your personality changed after you were involved in a very serious car accident. Can you tell us about that, Yah?
Yes, I was driving down the street.
Wait a minute.
And
you
I
were
hit
driving?
A sandpie. No, not a sandpie. That's a boat. I hit a rickshaw. And then it was very upsetting to me. So after I hit the guy in the rickshaw, I said, oh, I need a smoke and a shot. And so I started to smoke and drink after the accident. I was shaken up by the driving of the accident.
It rewired your brain? I mean, it turned you into an adult, this accident? That's just, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, I know he's crazy, but look, everybody has to have something wrong. Nobody perfect.
Right, but most parents will stop their three-year-old from drinking beer.
They'd have to be pretty big parents to stop me, because I want it a lot when I need it.
Here's your quote from your mom. Says she likes drinking. Three glasses of beer is no problem to her.
No problem at all. I knock it back.
What does it take to get you drunk?
Oh, let's see. I like, what do you call it? The rice wine, your sake.
Sake, sure.
Okay, am I from China?
Yes.
Okay.
Come on, read the bit first.
Then sake is Japanese. I don't like that.
Okay, you don't like that at all.
No.
That's not what you drink.
No, not at all.
No. What do you drink?
I like to drink, let's see. Give me a minute here.
Okay, you can't think of one alcoholic beverage?
I'm trying to think of Chinese alcoholic beverage. You come up with one.
You don't have to be that complex. Just pick an alcohol.
I like vodka.
Okay,
well, that's not Chinese at all. That's Russian.
No, that's right.
Why would you drink that?
I don't know.
You're
it's
in China.
A bad idea.
All right.
So I do know that the guy, I used to steal cigarettes when I was younger.
Yeah, how younger? You're three.
Well, back when I was a little kid. I would steal the cigarette, but now I pay for them.
It says in the article you stole cigarettes from a store owner until he let you have them on credit.
Yeah, he's got a tab running for me because I've been out of work for a while, you know? Things are bad. The economy took a downturn. So I've been out of work for about a year and a half now.
But you can't work when you're 1.5 years old.
Maybe you can, but I certainly did.
Okay.
I was a jockey.
What did you do?
All right. You want to ask the question, then I'll answer?
Yeah. That would be better in that order. What did you do for a living?
I was a jockey.
Okay.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, to ride Shetland ponies.
Because you're small.
I'm a little person. I'm not
very
big.
Small.
I'm only three.
Right.
You've done a lot of living in just a short amount of time, Ya Wen.
I've done a lot of living during this bit.
I've done a lot of dying during this bit, so we're even.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's an update, by the way, on our citizen of the day a few minutes ago, the guy who cut off his own arm that was stuck in the furnace.
Yeah.
One of our Boston Kevin and Bean online listeners says that the furnace company is giving him a new furnace. So he didn't even have to get the one repair that the rescue guys had to cut open to get his arm removed.
Isn't the bigger problem his arm?
Well, yeah. They can't do anything about his arm, though. But they can replace his furnace for free. But I think that's very, very nice. So thank you for the update on that. Hey, Ralph is on vacation this week. This week we are filling in with the Showbiz Beat. I have a Charlie Sheen story you have not yet heard because we've spent so much time talking about how curious it is that his cars keep disappearing from his property and then ending up in a ditch at the bottom of the Mulholland Drive in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
TMZ has also obtained a 43-page agreement between Charlie Sheen and his soon-to-be ex-wife Brooke Mueller about how their divorce is going to go down.
Oh.
Listen to this. This is funny. And you see this in sports all the time where somebody says, I'll sign a contract with you, but I have to be the highest paid player on the team or the highest paid player ever or the highest paid player in the league. As long as I make $1 more than that guy, I'll take it, right? Well, there's something like that in the Charlie Sheen divorce, too. Apparently, Brooke has made it clear that she will not get less in child support and spousal custody than Denise Richards got. So maybe this is why Charlie had to come back to Two and a Half Men, even if he's really over it, because he's going to have two ex-wives that are trying to bleed him for everything they can.
Wow.
Charlie, stop getting married.
Yes, great advice, Lisa. Brooke is going to get primary physical custody of the kids. Charlie becomes a weekend dad. Let's see here. Brooke is going to get $55,000 a month in child support. Plus various other expenses.
Bean, you made a mistake. You said $55,000 a month.
A month.
You meant
yes.
a year.
And the document says, under no circumstances shall the child support paid by Charlie for Bob and Max be a dollar less than the child support paid by to Denise Richards for Sam and Lola. He's got too many kids, too, by the way, as part of the other problem. Let me see. Also, Brooke is going to get a 50% cut on the baby photos that the couple has sold so far. Brooke will get several bank accounts and a lump sum parting gift of over $750,000.
That's not a gift.
Charlie gets to keep the house, but he has to buy out Brooke to the tune of around $1 million. So there's more.
Okay.
This is curious, too. Brooke doesn't get, Charlie will keep, his watch collection valued at $5.6 million. Who's got $5.6 million in watches?
Wow. Yeah, that's...
It's quite a collection, right?
I know there are people who collect or whatever.
That's their thing,
yeah. Crazy expensive watches.
But very seldom do you see somebody has a collection worth that much.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's the update on the soon-to-be-divorced Charlie Sheen and Brooke Mueller for you.
Dude, the people that are stealing his cars and driving them off the cliff should go inside and get some watches.
No kidding. That's where the real money is in that house.
They're hitting the wrong stuff. Mike, the situation Sorrentino.
Yeah.
Apparently is milking every second of his sudden fame. MTV insiders told TMZ.com that he's gotten pretty cocky these days. He defies producers. The producers tell him to do something. He says no just because he can and it entertains him. And they also say, hey, while the cameras are rolling, how about you not be on your BlackBerry all day?
And he's reasonable.
Right. While the cameras are rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. He's got to make deals. He's got deals to make.
He's got to strike while the iron is hot.
Yes. And he says his fans want to see him making deals on his BlackBerry.
And dealing.
I think that's science.
What's he
that's
selling,
not opinion.
Selling and buying buildings? What's he doing?
I don't know. He's not dealing. He's not making any deals.
Here's a story about one of Psycho Mike's heroes, Sanchito, in the news. Mark Sanchez of the New York Jets.
Take it easy.
I don't know who you're going to be most jealous of in this story, but apparently this is a new couple, Mike. Sanchito is dating Jamie Lynn Sigler now.
Oh.
Now, she broke up with Turtle, I guess. That was her real-life boyfriend, right?
Yes.
Right. Right. So now it's Mark Sanchez of the Jets and Jamie Lynn Sigler together. They've been an item for months, and they are just apparently madly, madly in love.
I
so, Mike, who do you choose? I mean, if you can only have one of them, is it going to be Mark or is it going to be Jamie Lynn?
Please. Like, it's not going to be Mark.
What kind of question is that? Do I want the Bentley or the broke down Yugo? I want Sanchito. And his glazed honey cinnamon mussels.
All right, take it easy.
And here's an update on Lisa's girlfriend, Deborah Lee Lorenzana. She's the woman that we talked about last week who was fired because she was too hot to work at a bank. Remember the chick at Citibank?
Yeah. Yes, that big liar.
And, don't be a hater.
And then Lisa went all hateration on her and put a post up at KevinandBean.com talking about how, she's not really that hot because she got breast implants as if
twice.
Somehow that makes her a lesser person. She's still that hot and she still is being discriminated against and I still love her, Lisa.
She's not some innocent victim, though.
She is.
Yes, she is.
She just wanted to work in
the banking industry.
Watch the video. That's not exactly her aim. Go ahead.
Well, I will tell you that, in the video that Lisa's describing that she put up at KevinandBean.com, she did talk about her plastic surgery. She said it was one of the best things she ever did. She said she wanted to be a Playboy playmate, which is kind of, look at me, and then how do you go work at a bank and then say, hey, don't look at me? I kind of get Lisa's point, although she's wrong. But I will say that Deborah Lee took a hit in my estimation when I realized yesterday that she hired Gloria Allred to represent her.
No.
Because, as you know, she is filing a sex discrimination suit against Citibank for life. Yeah. Even if you've got a good case, once you hire Gloria Allred, I'm sorry. It's hard for me to be on your side, baby.
Those of you that don't, yeah. don't call anyone baby, ever. You can't pull that off. Those of you that don't recognize the name, she's a lawyer that will only take cases if they're on TV.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's our contention. Tiger Woods' mistresses are now fighting amongst each other. Good times.
Yeah.
Jocelyn James is one of them. She went into the LAPD office yesterday, and she filed a police report accusing a rival mistress of stealing her stuff. Apparently, they were on the set of the tiger-themed porno movie recently.
So they're both doing porn now?
I don't think so.
Are they
I think
observing?
They were. I think. It doesn't say.
Advisors, maybe.
Yes. So, but they were both there, and Jocelyn James says that one of the other mistresses, Jocelyn James.
Whatever. The other one.
Devin James.
One of the other
Devin
ones.
Devin James. But they both have the last name James?
I think so.
I don't have that wrong? Okay. Anyway, she went through her purse while they were on the set, and she claims that the other girl stole cash, jewelry, and a cell phone.
Cell phone could have interesting stuff on it.
Yes, it could.
You can't trust a home-wrecking whore. What's this world coming to?
Now they're starting to fight with each other. And you know what that means? That means bad things for Tiger, because something else that we didn't know about before is going to come out.
Yep.
Yeah, someone's going to be comparing notes, and that's not going to be good. Hey, before we get out of here for today, by the way, something free for you if you want to call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We'll make it caller 20 this time to go see the new movie called Cyrus. Now, we heard great things about this when our friend Jonah Hill was in studio a couple of weeks ago. Marissa Tomei is in this movie, Catherine Keener, John C. Reilly. I mean, it really does look great. And it was at the Sundance Film Festival. You get a chance to see it. And, of course, it opens up this Friday. If you want to call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20 is the number for that. Today's celebrity birthdays, there's only one that matters, and that's our close friend, Petros Papadakis.
Yeah!
Woo! Sports legend, and as he is so fond of saying, he was a member of the worst college football team in USC history. So way to go, P. He is 33 years old today. Actress Missy Peregrine turns 28 years old today. Yeah. From Harold and Kumar and the, as far as I'm concerned, canceled way too soon flash-forward TV show. John Cho celebrates a birthday today. He is 38 years old today. And the late Tupac Shakur, well, I say the late as if we believe he died, would have been 39 years old had he lived, or if he lived,
he's
depending on what you believe.
He's keeping a low pro if he's still alive.
But how cool is it going to be when he comes back out? It's going to be such a surprise.
When he and Elvis come out?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that'll
exactly.
Be great.
And that is the Ralph Show Biz Beat.
All right, tomorrow morning, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program for you. We have comedian Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Who killed at April Foolishness.
He did. He was great.
Very
so funny,
funny. Very funny.
Have him in the studio. Have Dr. Drew because it's Thursday. We talk to him every Thursday. We're going to tell you about super sexy CPR. That's the way to learn it.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Basically, it's a video that teaches you how to do CPR, and it's hot chicks in lingerie doing it, so that you actually want to learn it and pay attention to it.
So it burns into your brain.
Yeah, and they,
exactly.
And they teach you, you know, things you need, like mouth-to-mouth.
I'm sure mm-hmm. they do.
Chest compression.
It's the way to learn it. If you have to learn, this is the way to do it. And we also have Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, great.
Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Kat Corbett's up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, most of which starts with the letter S. The letter S is the letter of the day. Bad Religion, Sorrow is going to be part of that. Santeria from Sublime, Savior by Rise Against, and so much more. Straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.